Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. It's good to be with you tonight. All right, welcome to the Thursday night show. We're going to be taking communion tonight, so please don't forget to get your communion, your bread and your cup and your juice. All right, yeah, I had to run and get mine. I'm in a different area tonight. So, yeah, hopefully you're all doing well tonight, and we're going to be praying, like I said, over communion, praying over offerings. Praying over you. Yeah, that'd be really cool. And whatever we talk about tonight, I'm not sure exactly, but we'll see what goes on. And anyway, what else we got going on tonight? I think that's about it for now. Like I said, we're taking communion. Don't forget your communion. I'm going to remind you about that. You remind me sometimes. All right. Whatever battles you're going through, let's believe God to, you know, give you some kind of information to help you get through that, right? And, yeah, and open you up to, you know, some answers, whatever the Lord might be saying. And, yeah, some of that. All right, if you need the giving link tonight, just let me know. I'll be glad to get you the giving link if you don't have it. Any of the outlets that we use, like Cash App, Venmo, Zelle, you'll need to have the phone number. All right, so make sure and get that. And the phone number is 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. So if you get that, can get into any of those accounts, whether it's the Cash App, whatever it is, you can get into it. And if you want to give tonight, that would be awesome. We'd love it. Be really cool. Yeah, just don't forget the number, 214-505-8719. And that'll get you there, that for sure. All right. All right. Also, if you need a giving link, like I said, if you need a giving link, I'm getting it. I'll get it off right now so I can get it ready in case you guys want it. Let's go here. There we go. Okay. All right. There we go. All right, people already give it on the Cash App. Whatever you want to give on tonight, Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, Cash App, if you know what that is. You can also give through Zelle, through from one bank account to the other. There's no charges on that when you do that. You just need the phone number, 214-505-8719. And you can get that going on there. And that would be awesome. Okay. We got several outlets to give, so that's really cool. And PayPal is the other one. If you want the PayPal link, that's where I was going. If you want the PayPal link, we can get that to you also. So, yeah, so make sure and ask for that if you need it. So we'd be glad to get it to you. And, all right, we're keeping up recording all the offerings tonight. Thank you for giving. And thanks for obeying the Lord, whatever the Lord tells you to do. Okay. All right. Thank you. I appreciate everybody giving tonight. Thank you so much. Okay. So just keep sending that in and we'll have any questions. If you want that PayPal link, make sure and ask for that. You can text me at 214-505-8719, and we'll get it to you real easy and real fast. That, again, I mentioned one more time, Cash App. You can also use Venmo and also Zelle, which is from bank to bank, like your bank to mine or other ministries. All right. So jump on there and see what God is saying and doing. And you've got a chance to bless you. I'm sure wants to do it. If you guys saw, tonight we sent out, or today we sent out the picture of our friends who've been with us for many years, Indrika and Chris, got married today, or yesterday, or maybe they didn't say when they got married, the last few days, I guess. I don't have the date exactly yet, but got married. Wow. Awesome. And they've been, like I said, we've known Indrika for, I don't know how long, for it seemed like forever, but she got married. It was just amazing. Really awesome. We're really thankful for that. If you didn't get that picture today, I'd be glad to send it to you. It's really, really great. Awesome picture of them. And, celebration, they're dressed in their uniforms, their wedding uniforms. I didn't get it to you. Okay, sure. I thought I sent it to everyone. Maybe I didn't. Yeah, I think Cynthia is not on our... hang on a second. Okay. Okay, so I'm getting kindly rebuked tonight. I'm going to get it to you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate you asking. All right. Okay. I know Cynthia's not on our list. Nikki, I think, is on the list. You look on your group text, you'll see it, but I'll send it to you anyway. What happened? All right, y'all give me a second here. I guess I just mixed that up. There we go. Now I got it. All right. Okay, here we go. Now we got it. All right, I'm getting them out there to you. There you go. Thank you for asking. These have been friends of ours for a long time. And I know several of you that are asking are not on our list for some reason. I don't know why you're not on the list, but you're welcome. And pretty cool. If you have our group text, you can look on the group text. You should have it on the group text. But if not, okay, yeah. Deborah says, yeah, good. God's best blessing to them both. Beautiful photo, yeah. Yeah, it's a really great photo. I thought it was great, too. All right. Awesome. All right, yeah. So, like I say, if you don't think you have it, if you're on our list, actually, we already had several people tonight asking for that picture that are not on the list, so there you go. I got it to you. If you want to be on the list, just let me know, and we can do that. Don't forget we're taking communion tonight. Don't forget about that. Got it right here, and I had to run get it, actually. I didn't have any in this particular part of the room, so here I am. Thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all. Let's see what's happening here. All right, and like I say, if you need the PayPal app, sometimes the app changes and the link changes, and I've got a new link up. If the old one isn't working, if you don't have a new one, we'll get that for you so that you can give to the Lord tonight and help PGN by giving to the Lord. Right? Don't forget, you're giving to the Lord, you're giving to PGN. Some aspects through PGN, we're serving Him, and we're of the ministry called of the ministry. We are shepherds, so we are in position, if you will, to receive the art, the monies from God. You know, yeah. So whatever God brings in. Amen. It's really, really great. All right. The tithe and the offering goes to the house. Then go to the poor and the needy. The church should take care of the poor and the needy, so it should be the body of Christ. But your tithe does never go through the poor and the needy. And in fact, you can't even designate a tithe to go to the poor and needy. You can't, really, you're not supposed to do that. Even though, you know, your offerings can be designated however you want. But it's really, really cool how the Lord made a way to provide for the ministry through the tithe. And, yeah, for His priests and those that do the work. I don't know how Jesus is going to, you know what, maybe we need to ask your favorite theologian, how is Jesus going to do it when He comes back? Is He going to take up tithe? I don't know. Because the tithe came after the curse. So if He breaks the curse off the land, what about the tithe? Right? I don't know. I mean, that makes me wonder. I guess I wonder what kind of financial system He's going to have. Y'all, I just thought about this right now. I'm seeing Him there in Jerusalem in my mind, going, you know, like, okay, Lord, what kind of financial system are You going to have? I don't know that we know that. It's got to be in the Bible somewhere, you would think. I, honest to God, don't have a clue at this moment unless I get something tonight. And we find something, God shows us something. I really wonder what that's going to be. Is He going to say, bring your tithes and offering? Because the tithe came after the curse. When Adam and Eve fell, then, you know, and then, you know, the law, of course, you know, before the law, really, the tithe was 10%. Yeah, before the law. What am I talking about? I'm going to mess this up, but I'll be careful. Abraham, you know, gave a tenth to Melchizedek, right, the priest. So that was, he gave the tithe, he gave a tenth to the priest. And that was long before the law, right? We didn't have the law for, what, man, 400, 500, 600 years later? So the tithe was way before the law. Yeah, really, really cool. Really, really, really interesting. All right. So, we are believing God for all that. All right, I'm trying to just figure out what we're going to do here tonight. I'm just kind of like milling along here and asking the Lord, you know, what He wants to do and where He wants to go, where You want to go. Jesus, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, what You want to do. Yeah, what You want to do. All right, so let's get some things here. I want to talk about the virgins just for a second. I just saw the scripture. It's just a little scripture. I get little nuggets sometimes, right? And I think you may like them. I don't know whether you're interested in these particular things as much as I am because I think about them a lot. You know, the 144,000 are virgins, right? And I've heard different men of God that I appreciate, even though they're pre-tribbers. I do appreciate their knowledge on a lot of things. And I think I heard Hal Lindsey say one time, and I listen to him pretty regularly. He's got a lot of good foundational stuff. You know, it's really good. He mentioned one night that he thought, he didn't know for sure that the 144,000 virgins were really virgins, like, you know, not having had been married and had, you know, relationships with a woman. And so, you know, I wondered about that too. I always wondered about that. And so one of the things that I get in talking about the people, because I see so many people that they're not liars, but they lie. They lie. And they lie sometimes for good reasons. Sometimes a good reason to lie is, like I talked about, I think last night, Corrie Ten Boom, when she's the one who saved a lot of Jews from the Nazi Holocaust, the Hitler people. They came, they were looking for all the Jews, and her family, they were German. And they hid the Jews up, you know, built little places and hid them up there and fed them, took good care of them. And, you know, so when the Nazis would come and say, do you have any Jews in here? They'd always go, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Life like a dog. Right? So is there lies that are okay? Yeah, I think so. I think that would be, if you're going to call it a lie. But what happens is this something God's really speaking to me about right now, to tell people and warn people about, just to watch ourselves. I watch myself, you watch yourself, but all of us, about a life being found in the mouth. And so the 144,000, Revelation 14:5, talking about them, it says 144,000, that in their mouth was found no lie, for they are blameless before the throne of God, right? There was found no lie in them. Wow, I thought that was really cool. Because, you know, I've been, really focusing on that in my spiritual time. When God speaks to me, he's speaking to me about these things that people get used to. They get used to lying. And they lie. I'm not talking about lying like scumbag lying, that thing like this deceiving, lying, cheating, stealing, and lying, you know, to cover it all up. Now, I'm talking about, I'm actually talking about something completely different, like, you know, like something's not anybody's business. You know, what did you miss work today for? You know, you didn't want to, you weren't sick, but you had another thing going on, but you don't want to tell anybody. You know, were you sick or something? Something. And, you know, and we say things and do things that, you know, aren't really trying to cover up some horrible thing we did and lied about it to cover it up, but it just becomes a thing that we do, and thinking, oh, that's not really anybody's business, so I can lie about that, you know. And what happens is that, you know, we find ourselves lying more and more and more all the time. And pretty soon, if we don't stop doing that, we turn into a liar, which I think it takes a while to do that, because you start building it into your mind that it's okay to lie, because really what I got going on is none of your business anyway. So if I don't tell you the truth, I'm not really a liar. I just don't think it's any of your business. So they will, many times people, instead of saying it's none of your business, they'll just lie, right? And with the justification of that. So what happens is that it turns into, you know, lying turning into a liar. And pretty soon you find yourself lying about things you don't have to literally lie about, you know? So we have to be careful, you know, about are, you know, doing like Corrie Ten Boom did when she hid the Jews in the Hitlers. Nazis would ask her, come to the door, knock on her door and ask her, you got any Jews in there? And she would say, no. She was lying. You know, she wasn't telling the truth. So, you know, I'm not saying anything wrong with that at all. But now if she would have started lying about this and lying about that, and you know, I think many times she would ask forgiveness for lying. She would say, Lord, you know, forgive me for that lie I just told. And she would say, forgive me for that. You know, Corrie Ten Boom would. I remember seeing the movie. Any of y'all see that movie? Pretty cool. I saw that movie. It was pretty interesting. And so she would, oh, Lord, forgive me for lying. And she's as sweet as she could be, you know, just like a really amazing, sweet lady. And so where are you going with all this? Well, I don't know. We're going to land there in a second. I'm taking it somewhere because I'm talking about the virgins. When I saw this thing with the virgins, here, I know what I was saying. Let's come back over here. Let me go here. Hang on a second. Let me go right here. I haven't got my scripture up yet for tonight. Okay, let's go here. All right, what am I looking for here? I'm looking for 144,000. Revelation 14. You can always remember the 144,000 are in the 14th, you know, 14th chapter of Revelation. Yeah. And give me a second. I'm just going to blow my way through this thing. All right. We're going to go somewhere, I think, here in a minute. I'm going to try to follow the leading on this the best I can. Okay. What did I say that was? 14:5. All right. Going to go to 14:5. He's talking about the 144,000. And it says of them, these are the ones who have not defiled themselves with women, You know, I mean, how is defiling yourself with a woman in marriage? I mean, if you're not just, you know, using sexual activity as just some kind of a thing you do to get a thrill and to, you know, do whatever, but if it's in marriage, I mean, how can that be defilement? You know, but even in the Old Testament, they would, before David, remember David, when he went to, he was hiding from Saul, and he had his, you know, several hundred men, and they went to the priest and they asked the priest for some bread. They said, we don't have any bread, but the bread in the holy place, you know, the holy place bread, which only the priest ate. And God allowed David to eat that. So the priest asked him, he says, now, have you had sexual, any of your men been having sex with any women? I mean, that's what he asked him. He's thinking like, what does that have to do with eating bread? Because they would have been, according to the priest, they would have been defiled. So, you know, it wasn't like they were all fornicators. It's like, you know, if they'd been with their wife. So, but it's a thing. So there's a lot of things to think about. We're going to talk about this stuff and get into some things that are going to be very interesting, I think. So the virgins were, these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they were virgins, verse 4. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. I love that about them. They were redeemed from among men. Yeah, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, no lie. They are without fault before the throne of God. So, you see, lying and deceit is probably even a better word. Because when Corrie Ten Boom was doing her thing, she wasn't being deceitful for the purpose of, you know, she wasn't hiding sin. She was protecting people, right? Yeah, she was protecting people. So, but the thing is, so what happens is with people, and I've seen this over the years with myself, even as a lost person, I saw myself doing that. I remember doing that. The more I lied, the more, you know, I just lied and kept lying about this, lying about that. Because a lot of things I did was nobody business. You smoke dope? Oh, well, of course I don't smoke dope. Do you drink? If I didn't want to, of course I don't drink. You know, or other people ask me, do you drink whiskey? And I wanted to be tough. Like, well, of course I drink whiskey. Something like that. You know, it just, I didn't really like whiskey. I never was much of a drinker anyway, but did a little bit. But you know, you just lie. And the word here is deceit in this particular version. The action or practice of deceiving someone by concealing or misrepresenting the truth, right? So these guys were virgins, representing the virgin, you know. So like how Lindsay was talking about, does virgin mean that they were just, you know, didn't have idols and never had an idol in their life? He thinks because they never had an idol in their life, ever. They were raised as Jews, obviously, he thinks, and because they were raised as Jews and they had their parents, you know, them, and they never worshipped an idol or worshipped, bowed to an idol. So in that sense, that made them like a virgin, right? So we're looking at this tonight because one of the things that really got me going on with this was that God's really been speaking to me about lying, you know, to every person, you and me, because one of the strategies of hell that the enemy's going to try to get Christians, good God-fearing Christians, I'm talking about us and them, to get us to begin to do these little lie things, a little lie here, a little lie there. Pretty soon we're lying when we don't have to lie. We just lie. We don't even think a thing about it. You know, we just lie. So pretty soon you find yourself, you know, like Ananias and Sapphira. I think that Ananias and Sapphira, who were struck dead by God, and when Peter spoke to them and asked them about selling their property, they just lied about it. He said, is this all the money for the sale of your property? I don't know why I even asked him that. What business was it even of Peter to ask that? That's what he asked. He said, is this the full sale for your house? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, well, you just didn't lie to me. You just lied to God. You didn't just lie to man, but you lied to God. And they were struck dead. So how could somebody just walk into the presence of God, believers? I guess they were some type of a believer. They were either wanted to be a believer, trying to be a believer, or were believers. Nobody can really prove what they were, but they were being part of the church. And so, you know, possibly they were a tare being planted by the devil. I don't know. You know, we know what the tares are, the wicked people planted among the wheat. So it could have been that possibly. But either way, the whole thing that we're looking at here is that in their mouth was found no lie. they are blameless before God. Right. So I really love that. And, of course, you know, I want to be like that, truly, truly be like that in every area of my life, to where I am truly found before God to be, you know, holy. And, yeah, so I know you too. If you're like me, that's what you need to do. I don't want anything to stop me. We don't want anything to stop us from, you know, getting everything God has. Because the thing that's going to cause us to miss on what God has is things like this. This is just one of many, and I'm not just talking about some people out there who might be lying. I'm talking about any of us could lie at any moment, at any time, and it can begin a habit of lying. Especially if you get hurt and wounded and you start trying to protect yourself, then you find yourself lying a lot. When you have pride, you cover up your pride many times by lying, right? I know a lot about that. Pride. Pride tries to get you to lie, you know, So, you know, God is really speaking to me about this. Y'all, I'm telling you, I want you to hear this because, well, I never lie. Yeah, you got to start thinking about it. When I start asking the Lord, you know, but do I lie? He said, well, you know, sometimes things are nobody's business and just another, be careful for what you do. Be careful how you let this get a hold of you, because one of the strategies of hell is going to be the opposite of these virgins, right? Everybody wants to be a virgin. When you're a virgin for God, you're probably going to be able to be used by God to the fullest. So I think everybody I'm talking to right now, you and I want to be used from God, by God, to the fullest. And if that's not happening, you know, we need to know why. And that's one of the reasons we've been hitting on all these things, like your motives. You know, everybody can have wrong motives. You can have wrong motives in a half a second. Being a wrong motive. You can have wrong. We have to watch ourselves, stay prayed up, keep our heart pure, and watch our pride. Your pride will really trip you up. That's why pride comes before fall, because falling has to do with more than just having pride, but pride just comes before it. And you're prideful, you become a liar, you start lying because you want to cover up your stuff, or your pride wants to cover up everything. And so, you know, you know, you lie about, you find yourself lying about a lot. So, you know, it says in their mouth was found no lie. They are blameless before God, before the throne of God. They're without fault. The New International, I mean, the New King James Version says. And so I think that, that we need to really ask ourselves, we're going to take communion tonight, and I think that God is really speaking to us. I'm not saying calling anybody a liar. Y'all know that, right? But I'm saying that you may be telling a lie here and there, and you might be doing the thing like Corrie Ten Boom did in your own way. But be careful. Watch yourself, because it's going to become a strategy of the enemy, you know, and they get you in pride and, you know, get you lying about things, covering up stuff, covering up. You know, oh, did you do that? No, I didn't do that. You lie before you even think about it. And so when you lie before you think about it, you need to turn right around right then, if you can, and turn that thing around immediately. And then you start getting, then every time you find yourself lying or whatever other thing you might be doing, you know, we might be doing, then you find yourself changing it, correcting yourself right then. Don't wait till later. Don't hide it and go off in a bit. Oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. No, you know, if you said some lie to a person, and if there's any way at all you can straighten it out, so, oh, I'm sorry, never, you know what, I meant, you know, I missed that. I didn't tell you, that's not the right thing. Here, I want to straighten this out. And when you start straightening it out and start reversing it, that's called repentance, called, you know, walking away from that thing. When you start walking away from it, you start being blessed, friend. You know, you start finding yourself feeling clean again in new ways. Yeah. These virgins were clean. They were pure. That's the whole thing about the virgin thing. I think that these guys, not all of them were not married and have families. And you can't say that having marital relationship with their wife or their husband made them unclean. How can that be? That's a God thing. But there are things in the Bible that talk about they couldn't do certain things if they'd had sex. I mean, that's just outright what it says. If they had a relationship with their wife, or, you know, wasn't talking about be fornicators, you know, adulterers. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about just sex in general, that there was something, you know, to a certain degree, you were unclean. But how can it be unclean when God sanctifies? You see what I'm saying? Sanctifies it, and that's part of where marriage comes from. So if our sex life is dirty in marriage, then our children are dirty, and everything gets dirty. Well, it can't be that, right? It can't be that. So there's something more to it. We're going to get into that more as we go here. But they were the ones who were not defiled with women, it says, for they were virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They're redeemed among men, bearing fruits, bearing first fruits. We talked about bearing fruit last week, how God wants us to bear much fruit. And that's why he prunes us. That's why he corrects us. That's why, you know, like when you start, you know, saying things that you realize you just didn't tell the whole truth, you turn around and you tell the truth. Like some people get in court and swear to God they're telling the truth and just lie like a dog. It means nothing to them. Just to stand before God in the Bible, especially in the courtroom or anywhere, really. And just, you know, yeah, I didn't do your business. Anyway, I can say whatever I want to say. So they build their life around that, and pretty soon they're finding themselves being defiled and being cut off before the throne of God. Because it says here that there, in their mouth was no deceit. No deceit was found, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So this is about before the throne. So can you be unclean before the throne of God and not be unclean in other areas, in other things a little bit further out, wherever you want to say it? Right. So it says they were found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne. It can be very important before the throne. All right. So I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. And I believe that, you know, some of this has to do with not worshiping idols. Obviously, in those days, worshiping idols was a really big thing, a pretty easy thing to do. I think something that we don't really have, it's not obvious in our society, but it wasn't there. So there's things that we do that are too easy to do. Like they would just say, Israel fell into idolatry all the time. All the time. That's how Balak got Balaam to tell him what the weaknesses of Israel was, so if he could, you know, get him into sin. So he got him into that. He got him into idolatry. And when he got into that, you know, then Balaam was right. Balaam was a smart prophet, you know, but he had some bad motives, man. He had some. Woo! Wow, it's amazing how you can be a prophet like Balaam was. We talked about that last night, not before last. About Balaam, and we read all the things about where he would stand before God, and God say, "Don't tell them anything. Don't try to curse Israel because, you know, I blessed them. You can't curse what I blessed, Balaam." And Balaam goes to the king, and says, "I can't bless what God said." He said exactly what God said. So he was a good prophet in that sense, and yet problems are there. So here's the thing. So even when you're prophesying, I had a friend of mine, one of my best friends years ago, would say, "Prophesy, yeah." Prophesy, you know, prophesy, just a lie. And so the same thing with that. So we prophesy lies, trying to manipulate and control people and trying to influence people towards you and telling them obvious, you know, lies that are not true about yourself. And so, you know, and then prophesying, getting out and prophesying just whatever you can do to make money. A lot of prophets just like the money thing's big. That's what we're talking about Balaam last night. Was Balaam and Balak, because King Balak was, you know, paying. He said, "Man, Balaam is obviously a hard guy to get, because he said, man, you know, I'm not going to curse these people." And he said, "Man, I'll give you everything in my kingdom just about it." It was a lot of money, because he knew that he was going to lose his kingdom if Israel decided to take him over, and he knew that. So he was trying to find, and brother, did he? And did it ever work? It's amazing. We're going to talk about that story more sometime. Yeah, we're going to talk about that more. So let's get clean. Let's get right with God. You know, me, you, us. You have to find yourself a minister somewhere, throw him a good little offering, thank him for his labor, and ask him to, you know, if he has good discernment, has a reputation for maybe deliverance or whatever things, helping people counsel, you know, without spending months and months and months counseling. Yeah, go to him and find some place that if even if it's pay a few bucks to, you know, I mean, you know how I am against paying for things, right, for your five-fold ministry. But if you can find some place where you can get a counseling thing where you can keep things, you know, private and just get your guts cleaned out, man. I mean, if it costs you $100, $200, $300, it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it to just and know that you're talking before somebody that has to have it, you know, confidential or else. That's what's good about counselor situations is that, you know, they have to hold it confidential. So what I'm trying to stress to people, let's find some way, somehow, to get that nonsense, that deep-bedded trash out of your life so that you can be a virgin, so you don't find yourself slipping up all the time. Oh, I slipped and I said this, and I slipped and I said that, and I slipped and I said that. Sometimes that's because we replay those slips in our minds, and then when we talk it out outside, we want to take off some of the information, but we don't, because we said it so many times inside of us that when we actually say it to them, we say it to them with all the mess up in it. Oh, well, wait, I didn't mean to say that. Wait a minute, I didn't mean that. Right? And we all do that to a certain degree. So ask God to show you how to set yourself free from that. And to get that stuff out in the open and stop and start training your mind. Renewing the mind sometimes is stop. Like I've had friends of mine who have cussing problems. They're Christians who have cussing problems. They cuss in their mind. Their mom and daddy cuss all the time. So it's like when they think of things through in their mind, they're hearing mom and dad go, be blanky blank, and sorry, no good, bunch of blanky blank. So when they get mad, that's what comes out. Without anything, it just comes out automatically. Blankety, blanky, blanky. So I'm going like, okay, so how do we change? How do we renew our mind in that way? Well, you stop rehearsing that stuff with all the blankety blanks in it. You can rehearse it, but rehearse it with all the blankety blanks. Because when you put the blankety blank, the foul language in there, that's going to come out of you, man. It's going to make you look bad. You may not be any worse than the person you're sitting next to that's looking at you like, what did you just say? You may be more pure than them in many ways. But you know what? That make you look really bad. It's going to make you look unclean. It's not going to be good for you to be doing that stuff anyway, because it's a bad example for children. You know, for children. People are going, oh, you can cuss like that and be a Christian? Oh, blankety, blanky, blanky. Yeah, good. So what we're saying is renewing your mind many times is when you're playing things through your mind, you have to go through and start, you know, a conversation. You know, leave out the blankety blanks like they do on, you know, I have this app that if I want to watch a movie that has some blankety blank in it, I have an app that you pay for, not that much. It's called Angel, what's it called? I have my phone thing right here. It's called Vid Angel, VIDANGEL. And you can go in there in your settings and you can cut out anything you want. I mean, anything, any particular words you don't want to hear, any particular scenes you don't want to see. You can cut out everything. Some movies, you turn them on, and it's about a three-hour movie, and you got about 5 minutes worth of stuff, and all the rest of it's just worthless. Right? I mean, I've never done that personally, but I know it's true. So that's what you got to do in your mind. You got to start, you know, rehearsing things and get the without all the rehearsing the blankety blanks and the, you know, the stuff in there. Because when you start talking to people, you'll revert back to that, and you'll start saying blankety blank and cussing. You don't even know you're saying it. They're saying, you just cussed. I went, I did? Yeah, you just said blankety blank. And they're like, oh, my God. Right, so we're trying to talk about this stuff. I don't know why we're talking about this stuff. The Spirit of God is being specific details. Why we're talking about these details, I'm not sure. But I think that, you know, we all rehearse things in our mind. Like when we're going to talk to somebody about something that we don't like, that we need to feel like we need to correct them. Man, if we, however you play it over and over in your mind, maybe, you know, not always, but mostly how you end up doing it. That's why the Bible says what a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so does he become. He becomes that thing. If you rehearse those things in your thoughts, and when I say in your thoughts are not your heart, but your soul has a heart, your physical body has a heart, your spirit man has a heart. I think we got three hearts. Your spirit man has a heart, your soul has a heart, and your body has a heart, of course, your physical heart. So in So in the soul, in the heart of your soul, when you're working through how you would handle something or talk to somebody or what somebody, you saw something, you saw somebody saying something at work and they were just blankety-blanking somebody and you're hearing that being repeated in your mind and you're kind of like rehearsing it like, I think they actually said blankety-blank and they actually told that woman she was a blankety-blanky-blanking. I can't believe they did that. You're going to have to. So if you start making that normal, you know, pretty soon, you know, so you can't get around not hearing bad language and hearing people talk bad and nasty and different things. You're gonna be around that in your life, right? So what God wants us to do is learn how to, you know, to when we run thoughts of memories, because when you see something unfold right before you didn't deliberately mean to go, hey, let's go hear somebody cuss somebody out and talk to them nasty, you know? No, you're at work and all of a sudden you hear the people behind you. You know, you can't help but hear them, and they're saying all those things. And so what's that? That's a memory that replays. You just like on your video when you record something or your audio. You know, you can replay it over and over and over again. So what are we going to do? We got to learn to take out all the blankety blanks and get the overall thing that she really ripped his drawers and leave out the rest of it, right, and start getting that washed out of your mind. So if you don't get that washed, here's the problem. If you don't get that washed out of your mind, pretty soon that's going to become normal for you to process like, well, I never do say it, but you process it through your mind. Pretty soon what you process through your mind and the way you do it is going to come out of your mouth. Like I said, I think some people who have cussing problems are probably more pure than some people who never said a cuss word in their life. Well, this is not about that. But it is, some people were just raised around blanky blanking all the time. My mom and dad were like that. One of my best friends years ago was his father drank all the time and his mama was just a little rough. And, you know, he was raised with that. Every day he heard that stuff. When he'd get mad, I believe the guy would really say, good friend of mine. I love the guy. He's my brother, one of my brothers back in the, you know, 80s. And when he'd get mad, first thing he'd do is he'd cuss. It's just, you know. And some young people, young converts who are standing around him, heard him cuss like that, going like, are we supposed to cuss like that? Can we cuss? Oh, Christians can cuss. You know, so it's like they do that. And because many times what's happened in his life is that he hears his mama and daddy talking normal talk. Hey, you know, honey, that blankety-blanking, sorry, no good, at work yesterday, told me I was a blankety-blanking thing, and I just kind of ripped his drawer and told him, hey, you sorry, no good, you know, blankety-blanking. And so you have to ask the Lord to start cleansing that language out of your brain. You don't cleanse your parents out of your brain, but you cleanse that language. And we're talking about language right now. We could do that with anything, with bad images, to renew your mind, to ask God to the only way your mind is going to be saved from that stuff, friend, the Bible says, receive with meekness and grafted word for the saving of your mind or your soul. Right? The only way your soul is going to be saved, and if you're already born again is not, you're not going to get born again a bunch of times. You get born again once, and you get saved 1,000 times, maybe at 2,000. Right? Because it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word for the saving of your soul. Well, if you're already born again, what are you getting saved for? You're not getting saved again. And you're not getting born again. You're just God is saving you from foul language. How? By the engrafted word of God. You start getting the word of God in there, something to fight with. Because our whole thing is about fighting. Paul told Timothy, go rehearse those prophecies. Why? So you can recall them and there are personal prophecies over you. Why? So you can fight a good fight. So it's all about fighting a good fight. So the only hope, the only way your mind, your brain is going to be saved or your memory is going to be saved from those things, friend, when you were raised like that as a young boy or young girl and saw violence maybe your daddy, he might not have hit your mom all the time. He might have hit her once in a while. I never saw my dad hit my mom. I never saw my mom hit my dad. I better put that in there too. I never saw them ever do that at all. I never saw that if they ever did it. You know, so I didn't have a thing with that. There wasn't a thing with that. Other people do. They'll hit somebody before they think about it. Why? Because they're bad people? No. I mean, is it bad to hit people? Yeah. Bad to abuse people. But, you know, some people do it because they were raised around it. That's why the genetic realm stuff that needs to be handled and taken care of. But your soul or your mind or your memories have to be saved, right? We say we're spirit man saved to the core if you're born again. But your soul needs saving, man. Why? Because all those memories and all those recordings which are inside of you, trust me, they're every one of them are in there. They may be hidden, but they're in there. And I can prove that by this one thing. I had a friend of mine who was one of his buddies. I think it might have been a pastor. I can't remember. He was having an operation and having his his hands shook. What do you call it? Palsy? Where he handshake? And, you know, he had tremors. What do you call those things? And his hands would shake, you know, all the time. And so they could go into the back of the brain and cut the nerves. So how they did it was they would, you know, the patient they had to keep him awake because if they put him to sleep, the shaking would stop, and they would know when they're cutting the nerve, they get the right nerve. So they keep him awake, and they deaden that part of their brain, their skull, and they go in there, and they start probing or prodding around with a little stick thing, a little thing, and they start poking around on things, and when they touch the right nerve, you know, maybe a finger quit twitching, or maybe the whole hand would quit twitching. They go, oh, there it is up there, and they would snip that nerve. They would nip it. That's the only way they could do it. They had to nip it. It's connected. And they would go through the whole part of the brain until they could get every one of them. Well, the guy said that was having it done to him, the patient said every time they would rub it around on his brain, he would relive, not just have thoughts about, he relived things in his life that he didn't even remember happening. He said it was so real to me. It's like and it was actually literally like replaying, like it was. He said it was like literally turning on a recording and playing a recording of something happened to him like many, many years ago. Several, depending on what part of the brain they were in, of how that would happen. So, friend, let me tell you something. Just because we have those memories, that mean that we're not born again? No, you're born again, but your soul needs to be saved. We're after your soul getting saved, not your spirit, man, not your born again relationship with Jesus. He's completely brand new, and it has to be like that in order for him to remain that way, so that while your soul is being saved, your soul doesn't get really born again. Your soul gets saved, according to James. I love that version. I love that the way it says that. Receive with meekness and grafted word for the saving of your soul. I thought he's talking to brothers. How can they get it saved again? Oh, they're going to get saved again. Oh, yeah. No, that's not what it was. They weren't getting born again. They'd already going to get born again once. You'd be born once and born again once. That's it. Can't be born again twice, three times. I explained it to you before, how God explained that to me and made it to where I didn't – he got me – he's like Jesus. And I was trying to trip him up with my question, like, oh, yeah, you thinking of it? And he just took me by the hand, and he explained this and explained that, and pretty soon I'm going like, oh, wow. How can you fight against that? It was so obvious. You know, like when Jesus was being tripped up, you know, by the Pharisees or whoever, and the lawyers, and he would, you know, come up with an answer that blew their mind. That's kind of what he did with me. He just kind of blew my mind. I went, oh, my God, I never thought about that. When you're born again, it's just like a parable. It's just like in the real world, when a child is conceived in the womb, that seed never changes. That seed is the mother and father. The seed is the father's seed. And the mother's egg, and that DNA is from, and they can never change that, not ever. If you kill them, they died with it. If they lived their whole life and never saw their parents, they still have it in there because they came from that DNA. And God said, it's the same thing, Randy, when you're born again. If you're truly born again, it says, the Bible says in 1 John, it says, he that is born of God cannot sin. See, friend, that's really contradictory. Cannot sin because the Bible says his seed remains in him. It's the same thing. And so when he shared that with me, I was blown away, like going, because I preach, you know, I hated the once saved, always saved. I'm not even the once saved, always saved. I'm just into what I just shared with you, but I don't call it once saved, always saved. I just call it once you're really born again, truly born again, you're truly born again forever. It can never change. That's why you want to make sure you're really born again, right? Because once that's done, deal, that's, brother, that's done. Now, if living right with God is what causes you to have relationship. The virgins had relationship with Jesus. their virginity in the sense that they're non-idolatrous, whatever the thing was, there was no lie in their mouth, caused them to have, it says, they were without fault before the throne of God. Now, y'all, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Before the throne of God. Wow, if you're something, if you're without fault before the throne, now, see, he wasn't saying they weren't saved and they got saved again or they got born again. No, he said they were without fault. So some people can be at fault before the throne of God and still be born again, right? Being having faults. How many of you know, we always talk, well, I don't, you know, yeah, I have faults. I have faults. You have faults. Yeah, everybody's got faults. But we have faults. But these guys, somehow, because of their clean mouth, their clean heart, had no fault before the throne of God. That, my friend, is amazing. That's what we want. That's what I want. And I want to be used like that because your relationship with God is about the throne. When you're without fault before the throne, I mean, a lot of Christians are at fault before the throne. It doesn't mean they're not born again. It just means they're not without fault. These virgins are very special people, and that's why God was saying them, saying this, these specific words about them, so to show that they were, you know, not just born again, but they lived their life pure, right? Pure virgins. So therefore, they were closer to God. People say, how can you be closer to God? You can be closer to God because you're without any fault. If you got those things where you're, you know, you don't have a foul mouth, you don't, there's no deceit found in your mouth, no lies, no idolatry in your life, not making God jealous in any fashion or form. Therefore, because of that, you are closer to God. Now, if you got stuff going on, it doesn't mean you're not close to God, but you're not as close as these people who have no fault, who truly walk in pure before God, truly walk in pure before God. Amen. Not just in their spirit, man, but their soul. Yeah, are y'all hearing me tonight? I hope you're hearing this because this is not a condemnation message. I'm putting myself in all this. But I'm just teaching what God teaches me. I share with you what God shares with me because I want to be pure like you. I want to be standing before the throne of God without fault. In other words, I want to really be close to God, to the throne. Right? I want to be a worshiping throne addict before God. Right, and you have to be without fault, and that's what I want to be. I want to be without fault. God, whatever I have to do to be without fault, that's what I want, Jesus. That's what Randy Chandler wants. Help me do that. If I have fault, show me my faults. He took Israel through the wilderness to show them their faults. That's what he did. And when they saw their faults, instead of repenting, they just kept on complaining and whining and kept on doing what they were doing, and they didn't want to change. So guess what? Anyway, there you go. All right, so there we go. All right, it is time to take communion. Let's do that. If you have your communion there, let's get ready for that. I did not really plan on doing this tonight with the virgin. I was going to hit it a little bit, share that little nugget with you, and then move on. And it seems like the Lord is really trying to hit us with this to get us to the throne room, that presence place with God, where I'm not just spending more of my time looking for a mate, or looking for money, or looking for whatever, you know, wealth, before I'm looking for God. I'm looking for God with all my heart, knowing that he's going to make me wealthy and he's going to bring me a family, or whatever I need to be brought to, property, land, houses, homes. Yeah, but I can be close to the throne of Almighty God. Wow. Everybody can be close to God, but you can be closer, right, if you're, have no deceit in your mouth. Wow. That's amazing. And that's really the main thing that it says about them. It says about their defilement. It says they were these are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. So whatever that really means, I don't know. But these are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. See, this is the product of being able to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Some people follow the Lamb most of the places he goes. Some people follow the Lamb a few places where he goes. And I want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes, don't y'all? If he wants to take me somewhere that I'm having a hard time believing he's going to take me there, woo, Lord, help me, but I want to go. Yeah, I want to go. Whatever it takes to follow you, to be able to follow the Lamb. Where, let me tell you somewhere, some friend, Jesus, the Lamb of God, goes places that, man, if you ain't sanctified and set apart, it just scares the daylights out of you. I mean, it's just like, if you could see the demons around the world, if you could see the power of the devil, and if you didn't have your eyes on Jesus and know Jesus and his power, friend, I guarantee you, you'd be shook up. So when the Lamb goes places that is in the realm of giants, and I've been there a little bit, believe me, when I had a dream vision, as you guys know about it, about giants, and I wasn't exactly like David running after him either. Not sure what happened, but because there was this long, big, huge wilderness, and they were running across this wilderness, and the biggest one was like 50 foot tall. It was huge, big old head, never forget it. And they were lined up beside him. I don't know, hundreds of them. I didn't see hundreds, but it's like they were lined up for miles, and they were in a straight line. They were walking together, like in order, and they were going somewhere in a hurry. And when they were going somewhere, I was standing over there trying to, I saw him coming, I kind of got up against this big rock and kind of looked like I was part of the rock. That's what I'll remember. And that big giant turned around and saw me, and the angry look on his face, y'all, I want to tell you something. That angry look on his face was something to fear. I mean, as far as, you know, and I'd like going, oh, my God. I didn't know what it meant exactly because I'm in a dream, right? And all of a sudden, I left that part of the rock, went behind it. In a little canopy area, if you will. And I'm hiding in there, right? Because there's like, I don't know how, I want to say hundreds of them, but these guys are all big. Some of them are really, really big. And they were lined up for, you know, miles every 15 feet or so from each other, maybe 20, something like that. That's how many of them were. I think that's what scared me, is I saw the biggest one in the middle, and then all the ones get smaller and the smaller. You know, up to 30 foot. The smaller ones were like 30 foot tall. And they were just lined up for a long time. And I went and hid. And so I guess the big man, it seems like I remember the big giant kind of like when he saw me, when the big giant saw me, he goes, like, I don't remember him say anything. Just like he sent the other giant after me, the 30 foot giant. So I'm hiding up in there. I've heard this story before, but this kind of fits together with all this. So I'm hiding in there. And I'm looking up, and his knees, you know, higher than my head. And he's reaching down in there to grab me. And I knew I didn't have a chance, y'all. I didn't have any weapons. There was no stone in my hand. I didn't have a slingshot. I had nothing. That was what was, you know, you try that sometimes. I feel like a little bit like a wimp. But at the same time, I mean, I had no weapon. I had nothing. They showed up all of a sudden, and I'm weaponless. I'm just out there doing something. I'm in the mountain with God. You know, I guess. That's the only thing I could think of. And boom, he reached down to get me, and suddenly, out of the blue, out of nowhere, the size of my hand, like a frisbee, jagged red edge frisbee rock, ends up my hand, and I slung it at him, and hit him in the knee, and I knew, I never saw him actually go down, but I knew he went down. And all of a sudden, I was back into the very deep, hidden part of the mountain cave then. So I went to three levels of hiding. I went from hiding up against the rock. Then I went hiding under these kind of little canopy area, and then I went hiding deep within. It was so dark up in there, you couldn't see nothing. Now, I knew I was in the rock of God. And then all of a sudden, I found myself walking out to the mouth of the cave, and I knew that it was all over with, and I saw this. Remember the screen I used to have at the studio, the video screen? It's like I saw this. I was in a cave, right? And I was down in the mouth of the cave. And just around the platform of the cave, where you walk out to was a video screen or something. It was really unusual. I mean, really odd. I still haven't figured that one out. And then all of a sudden I knew that all the trouble was gone. Right. Well, you know, so Jesus was taking me. I was following the Lamb. And man, where I followed him to wasn't exactly the the most wonderful thing in the whole world to be going like, man, I'm so glad I followed you today, Lamb of God. That was, no, I'm going like, dear Jesus, what are we doing here? Okay, where are you at, Lord? Like, help. You know, I had no weapons. I had no nothing. They all saw me. The big guy saw me first, and then they all, you know, it's like they would have done whatever he told them to do. And he sent one after me, a 30-footer. He knew a 30-footer whacked me pretty good. Because I'm like, his knee is like a foot higher than my head. His knee. Yeah, and that was the bottom of his knee, by the way. So it was an amazing thing. So all that, I think God's trying to put it together. The how we're going to dwell in the land of the giants and be victorious, to end up with a rock in our hand to bring down the giant and then end up having the victory and being in the secret place of the Most High God, is by being like these virgins. I'm not saying I'm a virgin, like I'm not 144 vow. I'm not saying any of that, you know, to make it clear in case those might be going. But I'm going to be a virgin, like the five foolish, the five wise virgins. I want to be a virgin before God. I want to be pure. Amen. And that's what I want. So that's what I'm believing God for. So they followed the Lamb wherever he went. They were redeemed among men, being first fruits to God. You know, not talking about, you know, fruit. Bearing fruit, bearing much fruit, bearing much fruit, friend. We're in the realm. God, listen, I'm going to tell you this, I'm going to stop. We are in the place with God, in the timing of God, where we are going to bear forth much fruit. It is going to be so fruitful. When they brought those big grapes back, one cluster was so heavy, two men had to carry one cluster of grapes, y'all. It's not a whole bunch of clusters. It was one cluster. It was so heavy they had to carry it between, you know, between two poles. You know, I mean, it's amazing. Bearing fruit, the fruit we are heading into, the fruit of the giants, because the Bible says the giants are going to be like bread for us. That's what Joshua and Caleb said about the giants. They're bread for us. That's the way I see it, y'all. I mean, I don't understand it all, but all I know is that being pure before God, it's what's going to allow that rock to show up in your hand and sling at the enemy when you didn't know where you knew you were going down if God didn't do something. And we're going to live in that place. Are you ready to follow the Lamb in a place where you know you're going to go down if God doesn't help you? That's where we're going. We're going in a place where you're going to go down if God doesn't help you. Can I just tell you that? I'm going to warn you. If God's not helping you, if God's not with you, you're going to go down. You will go down if God's not helping you. Like in that dream, I knew I had no hope. I had no tools, no weapons. I had nothing. And there was bunches of giants, huge giants right there. And they, you know, I mean, they could have surrounded it. Just one was enough. Right. So it was more than what I could handle. And I knew that I was going to die. I knew I was going to die. Unless God showed up. And all of a sudden, and my left hand, I'm left-handed too. And my left hand appeared this rock, like a frisbee. It wasn't a round rock. It was, David's round and pretty, right? And shiny. Mine was like a frisbee, like the size of my hand. Jagged, rigid, edge, a frisbee. And looked like a frisbee to a certain degree. It was the size of my hand. And so when I threw that rock at him, he went down. And before that, I was going to die. I mean, that's where I was at. I'm in the land of, I'm going to die if you don't show up, Jesus. Friend, are you ready for that land? Are you ready for that place? Be in the land that you're going to die if God doesn't show up? Feel like you're there right now, and you may be. But God's trying to train you. Don't run from it. I'm trying to get rid of all your enemies. Watch God prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. That's what you want. You want them to see you eating good and enjoying yourself. And you're not afraid of one of them. Woo! All right, let's lift up our bread. Thank you, Jesus, for 1 Corinthians 11. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know. Maybe that was just for me tonight. I'm not sure, but wow. I think I needed that. I think I just got some understanding from that dream that I had about that. Really cool. 11. All right, here we go. So 11, we're here at 11. Let's go here. All right. For I received from the Lord, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, got your bread in your hand and your cup and your juice or wine, whatever you have. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Wow, betrayal on the same night. He was taking bread to break it. On the same night, on the same night. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, knowing he was going to be betrayed, knowing he was about to be betrayed, but it was for the purpose of God. And when he had given thanks for that, he broke it and said to the Father, because he knew what Jesus was about to do, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. To see from purify my mouth, purify my tongue, God. If there's any unrighteous way in me, any wicked way in me, if there is, cleanse me, wash me, show me, teach me, let me break habits that I have that may not be so bad now, but in the future when the enemy comes to take those little things that seems like not a really big problem and turns them into a big problem overnight. Cleanse me, wash me. We lift up the blood tonight. We thank you, Jesus, the drink. And we, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me a minute, be right back. We should pray over that. All right, y'all, I'm back. Here we go. All right, thank you for communion tonight, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you tonight for cleansing our mouth, cleansing our heart, helping us renew our minds, Jesus. For our minds are clear, our minds are pure. The heart of our soul, the heart of our spirit man, of course, is always pure, but the heart of our soul, God, I pray for the heart of our soul, the very innermost being of our soul, of our thoughts, our intentions, our motives, the heart of our intentions, the heart of our motives, that you would cleanse us and wash us and deliver us, God. Show us the way. Make us new. We want to be pure so we can be right next to the throne, not way down 15 miles, you know, down the south of thou, you know, south of the throne. We want to be right in the middle of the throne. We want to be called to the throne room of heaven. Jesus, we thank you for that. Thank you for calling us to that place and showing us how to get there. It's not about not going to heaven or not. It's about how close to the throne are you? Well, everybody's close to God, Brother Man. No, not if you're unclean. Not if you're, you know, doesn't mean you're, because you're unclean doesn't mean you're not born again. A lot of born-again people are unclean, their soul, their mind is just unclean. I'm not talking about filthy, nasty stuff even. I'm just talking about disobedience and carnal stuff, prevalent, you know, a lot of carnal stuff in their mind, you know, that has nothing to do with what God is doing. It's a bunch of religious stuff. If, no matter how religious you are, friend, if you're not doing what God says, you're unclean. If you're unclean, you're not in the throne room of God. Being clean, being pure like the virgins were. That's what it says they were at the throne room. I mean, that's mind-boggling. I never even saw that until tonight. Never saw that until tonight about the virgins, what it says about them. Wow. Man, you're talking about cool, man. That was cool. Revelation 14, read it for yourself. It's really awesome. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They had no faults. They were found faultless. It's because you have faults, that means you're not born again. It does not mean that at all. But it does mean you may not be standing before the throne of God. Right? That's possible. Well, it's not possible. It's just a fact. Amen? Y'all with me on that tonight? I hope you're hearing me. All right. Thank you. For all that. And hope you're hearing me tonight, hearing the Lord tonight, and able to understand what we're saying, that we're not
picking anybody out and saying I'm better than you or you're worse than me. As far as, you know, we're trying to learn how to get set place to the throne of God. Right? That's what I want. Is that what you want? Yeah, sure. I want to be close, man. You're close to God. You can tell, somebody said so-and-so was really close to God. Is that, can that be right? Yes. Well, I thought we were all close to God. Nah, not if you're living in, you know, uncleanness. And I'm not talking about pornography and stealing and lying and cheating necessarily. Right? You can be before the very throne room. Some people can be so far down there, you can't even go to see them. Hundreds of miles away, going like, hey, man, I'll be ready to start. It's kind of like being at a concert, and you're up there, and you're like, hey, man, call them on the phone. Where are you at? I'm right up here. I can see their eyeballs. They're spitting on me over here. It's awesome. I'm really close to the throne. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You paid a price to get in there, didn't you? Yes, absolutely. You got there like 3 hours early and waited in line for half an hour. That'd be nice, half an hour. Yeah, but so it's the same thing with the throne room of God. It's kind of like you show up early and stay up late as far as seeking him and, you know, making sure you're clean. Brother, you're going to be like right up there close. You're going to be able to hear the breath, hearing God breathe. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Yeah. All right. I am loving this stuff. This is absolutely amazing what God's showing us tonight. I just love it. And I know y'all do too. Y'all like me. We're just hearing from God. I mean, honestly, I did not know where we're going to go with that or how we're going to get there. Honestly, I truly didn't. And I know you believe me, but some people, you know, like, oh, yeah. No. It really is true. Really is really, really, really true. Amen? So, yeah. Having fun. We'll be close to the throne.
You know how cool it is that you and your friends, you know, you'd be up there at the very, you know, at the front stage, like, you know, right there on the first in line. You're going like, oh, my God, man. Guys are uglier than we thought they were, but they're still good looking. It's something, I don't know what to say. It's amazing. And we can see that. We can see every little thing, every little fault, every little pimple, every scar. And they're just amazing. And your friends back in the way back in the back, who didn't want to pay the price, you know, to get in there early and pay the extra money and save a couple of, you know, rounds of their allowance, you know, that they want to save up for it because they didn't really care that much about the group. But you were like front and center and saving for weeks, you know, not eating, you know, those chili dogs and the candy bars and saving up. Come buy of me gold right in the fire. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come buy of me gold right in the fire. It's truly true. It's really true. It's really amazing.
Okay. All right. Let's get ready to pray for offerings. I haven't seen them all yet. I haven't checked them a little. I'm going to check them a little bit. So please, if you're giving tonight, thank you for that. We appreciate it, what God's doing through you. If you want to give, tonight, you're welcome to do that. We would love to receive it. And we're all going to be virgins. We can imagine be the PGN virgins. We'll be called the Prophetic Grace Network virgins. Or something like that. You can call it whatever you want. Okay. All right, gathering offerings up here. Thank you for everything. Thank you for what you do. PGN. Okay, hang on a second here. I'm looking at stuff. Okay, there we go. Got that. I'm pretty good here. that, you know? Okay, so if you need that link tonight, I think I've already mentioned this once. We have callers to call in all during the night. So let you know that if you want the link to give tonight, you can give 5 cents or $500, whatever you want to do, $5 million if you want. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. Just give. If you want to get God speaking to give something, just do what he says. Obey him. He's the one you got to look up to for whether you did it right or not, right? It's him, not me. And so ask him. And if he does, I got a link for you. Just send for that link at 214-505-8719. Just ask for that link, and we will get it to you. Yeah. Get it to you big time, and I think you'll enjoy it. I think you enjoy giving. I think you'll feel good about giving, especially you know when you're being fed and nurtured and blessed, and just you know, and just we kind of do things a little bit different. I think everybody has their own different style, their unique style, and so do we. So if you like our style, like our uniqueness that we have, then give to it, and I'll send you the link. It's 214-505-8719. That's your phone number where you can give on the Cash App. You can give through the Cash App. You can give through Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, Venmo. You can also give through Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. That is a banking transaction. And all you got to do is remember our phone number, 214-505-8719, if you want to give in any of those ways. All right, you can find it, and so it's real easy, real simple. So just jump in there and do what God tells you to. Be a virgin, obey the Lord. Don't let money be an idol to you, right? Don't let your money tell you what to do. Some people, money bosses them around. Actually, I've seen some money that's like really bossy. Like, yeah, money gets really bossy. Now you're not going to spend me over there. We're going to go do this. Now you're going to give the money. You can get nothing to God. You're going to do what I tell you, and your money starts telling you what to do. We're going to pay the bills. You know, and that's what we're going to do. Yeah. So there you go. Anyway, so really cool how that money gets pretty bossy, to say the least, and tries to tell you what to do. Tells me what to do all the time. It's always telling me what to do. I never realized how bossy money was until you start messing with it. If you don't do what it says, it goes like, okay, well, that's it for you. You're going down now. You're going down now, Chandler. you're not letting your money boss you around. You're gonna be taken down. Yes, you are. You are going down. And money gets bossy, manipulative, controlling. If you don't want to know what I'm talking about, say amen. Don't know what I'm talking about, say amen. That makes a lot of sense. All right. Okay. Let's go here. Hang on a second. Let me check one more time. People giving all during the show. Thank you for that. You can also give in the app. You know what the app is. We're redoing the app. Working on that. First, we had to do some other stuff. And then we're renewing. We got our website almost up. We should have it up pretty quick. You can go to it whenever you want to and find stuff. We're going to try to make it work really good. Be really easy to, you know, get into. Yeah. So, pray for us about that. We have all of our hosts on the website. And, it's going to kind of be different this round. Kind of cool. Oh, somebody get through Zelle. There you go.
All right, y'all, give me just a minute, and I'll be right there.
Got it all up here. All right, one minute. We got it. Give me just one more. A few seconds here. I got it. Okay. All right, let's pray. You got them all tonight. Thank you for giving tonight. And for being a part of what we're doing here at PGN. And getting our website going right now is one of the big things we have happening. Doing a lot of writing, a lot of putting things together, pictures, you name it. Kind of doing a little bit of all that. Getting everything organized and a lot of fun. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Nicole, $3.80. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for the pleasure, to bring you pleasure to the Lord. You know, the thing that really, every daughter wants to be pleasing to the Father. I know I've dealt with counseling people, and, you know, there's this thing in them that they're made, you know, it's like later when she's married to her husband, she wants to please her husband, right? You know, pleasing the Father. And so God, you know, bringing that place of how to bring pleasure to God, like how to please him, you know, like every daughter looks for ways to find out what daddy likes. What does daddy like? Oh, he likes, you know, if he smokes cigars, he likes to get his cigars ready over there and have that end clipped off so he can, you know, chin, and I have it all ready for him when he gets home. And he comes home and he goes, oh, honey, look, did you do that for me? She goes, yeah. And just see that pleasing look on daddy's face, you know, like he cooks up, maybe she cooked something for him and cooked his toast a certain way that he likes it in the morning.
you know, and just to see the pleasure from the father to that daughter, it's just a God thing. It's the way God made it to be. And so, so Lord, I thank you for that pleasure thing with Nicole, of finding ways to find out the things that God likes, you know, like, you know, the way he cooks his toast or whatever. He doesn't smoke cigars, that's for sure, but that cigar came from, I'm not sure where the cigar thing came from, but anyway, there you go. So pleasing the Father. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you know that something to do with faith, to please him, right, has something to do with God speaking to you to do something that takes faith. It takes stepping out. It takes, you know, doing what God says. It pleases him. Like, wow, when you did that, it really, I think when Jesus went and got baptized by John the Baptist, I think that for some reason, that was a big pleasing thing to the Father. He went like, man, yeah, that's the way I like my toast. You know, like a whole meal as a matter. And like, man, so he, when Jesus went, it's like Jesus knew he was born to die. So he knew, Nicole, as soon as he stepped into his baptism with John, that he was saying, Father, you know, we're going to have a lot of miracles. We're going to have a lot of things going on. We're going to cast devils out, heal the sick, raise the dead. But you know what? As I get baptized in this water, I'm saying yes to you as the Lamb. Yes to you as the Lamb. Hallelujah. Yes to you as the Lamb. Wow. Most people don't realize that. But when he went to the Jordan River, he knew that his baptism was coming in agreement with the Father. The baptism is so powerful, man. Baptism is so powerful. It didn't save Jesus in it, but it connected him to his heavenly calling in the earth. It connected him to his heavenly Father's calling, a kingdom movement in the earth. That's what baptism does. Baptism is so amazing. If you've never been baptized, man, get baptized. Get baptized. And I baptize in the name of Jesus and the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? That way you know who what God we're talking about. Some people just baptize in the name of Jesus, or they baptize the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I do. I'm a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit person, and I baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. That way we know, oh, that God, yeah. We know which one we're talking about. So that's how I do it. And it's how I get baptized. So I said, I don't want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit, the Son, and the Father. I want to get baptized in the Spirit, Son, and the Father in his name. Like when we pray over food, we pray for healing. Whose name are we praying? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? No, we're praying in Jesus' name. Right? Right? But the scripture is talking about being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Like when we pray over meals, we're saying in the name of God. Right? We say in the name of Jesus. That way we know exactly what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit group we're talking about. Triune Godhead. We know that. And it's amazing. So Jesus' name is powerful. I never pray just in the name of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father. You know, yeah. It's amazing. Baptism was when Jesus was saying yes to the Father. To please him, he knew that was gonna, as soon as he chose to go, because John the Baptist kept crying out, he's coming soon. He shall come. And so maybe Jesus was, you know, struggling a little bit with that. I don't know. You see his struggle. We got to quit taking away the struggles of the human part of Jesus. Not the sinful. Not, he never sinned. We got to quit taking away the struggle of the human, because he knew he was born to die, right? And because of that, he knew that going had to be really getting serious. Came to go get baptized. Like, okay, it's like. Like some people I know, some of y'all, when y'all were young, whatever church you were part of, to go down to pray at the altar and shake the preacher's hand or whatever you did, take communion or and say, promise you want to get baptized, that's a big step. Some people are shaking in their boots when they do it, right? Because it's like so important, and it is. And with Jesus, it was important because he was just saying, he was like, he didn't think, oh yeah, it's time to get baptized today, hallelujah. He's going like, okay. I'm going to be baptized into my Father's will as the Lamb of God. When they said, here comes the Lamb of God, they didn't have a clue what they were talking about. They just thought, you know, it was a name. But no, he was going to be the Lamb. Yes, he was. Wow. The Lamb of God.
slaying. Oh, how we missed that one. How they missed it. They missed it. We would have missed it too, I guarantee you. Going to the grace of God. All right, Nicole, so the pleasing of the Father and God showing you, like a little girl, a daughter to her father, what pleases her daddy. Even when you get older, you know, pleasing your father, you know, like bringing, buying the right present. You know, he may not be much into anything, but he likes a favorite golf ball or something or whatever, and knowing what his favorite thing is and listening to him when he talks and gives these little hints and paying attention to that, and then all of a sudden you show up with it there, and he goes like, oh, my God, how did you know that? Well, I pay attention to you, Daddy. That's why I know that. So pleased. And the pleasure that that young girl gets from her father, being pleased with her, that he you remembered me. Like we take communion now. We take communion and do this in remembrance of me. Man, to remember what people love and like and bring it to them is important. Amazing. Amen, Nicole. I don't know where that was going. Went all over the place with that one. But wow, the John the Baptist thing and Jesus has really gotten hold of me lately. All right, Daryl Paul, $4.88. You guys kind of fix that up for you just right next to each other. I like that. It's awesome. Amen. So we thank you, Jesus, for the bride of God, the bride of God, the bride of God. You know, when God brings us a bride, when God brings us someone that we're, you know, thinking this could be it, this is the thing, this is the thing, this is the one, this is it. Like last night we gave that word to not knowing Indrika and Chris had just tied the knot, literally. We've known them for years. And they, when I gave them that word, not having a clue, you know, just saying that, yeah, the 1-2 punch, and I kept calling it the double punch, and I couldn't get it right. What, the double punch? What's it called? The double punch? Oh, the 1-2 punch. I said, no, Indrika, it's the 1-2 punch. And she laughed. She sends me this text saying, Brother Randy, you know, this is amazing because Chris, she sends me this picture. She said, that's the 1-2 punch you're talking about. Because I don't remember all, what the other word was, but it's amazing. You know, when one puts 1,000, two puts 10,000. You know, when God brings that God bride, I mean, it's just like amazing, absolutely amazing. Amen. So we thank you, Lord, for the combinations, the combination. There's that word combination again. There comes, something's coming, boot, 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 something's coming. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and when you look at this, when you add 388 and 488 together. Did you add that together? You know what that comes up to? 876. 876. In other words, if you go backwards, it's 678, 876. Right? 388. Let me make sure I did it right. Let me double check my math. All right. 388 plus 488. Is 876. All right, so you got either way you go, what? 678, or you can go 876. The numbers all like following each other. They follow each other. The numbers follow each other. Whoa, they follow each other. That's cool. You never said it like that. The numbers follow each other. You go 876, or just not 8, 4, 3, 7, 5, 6. It's 8, 7. The numbers follow each other. They're in order. They're in line. And then you go the other way around, 678. Don't ask me what that means because I'm not sure, but I'm just telling you what's going through my head. I feel like the Lord wanted me to add that up. And it's $8.76. I mean, together, the numbers follow each other. Either way you go, from the head to the tail. You start at the head at 8, go down, 876. Start at the tail and go up. 678. Yep, there you go. Whatever that means. I don't know. Maybe you do. Hallelujah. Yeah. You're so good to me, Jesus. All right, Andrea, $5. Thank you, Andrea. For the glory of the Father, Lord. I think for the glory of the Father in her, God, the glory of the Father. and the glory of the Son, the glory of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father, Andrea. Hallelujah. Let it be done. The glory of the Father. Amen. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Something about the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. I don't know if I understand the glory of the Father in its probably perfect way, but the way I see the glory of the Father is like sin is coming short of the glory. So when I see, when I hear the word glory, sin is coming short of the glory, I think of more of the will of God than anything. Right? Because when it comes to the will of God, the will of God is what we're here to perform, not getting souls saved. So, you know, some people are called just for that. Some people are called to help people get there. Some people are called to pray for people to get there. Some people are prayed to give to people to get there. Do that. You know, so it all works together, but we have a burden for souls. But it's like, you know, doing the will of God. If you never saw one soul get saved in your life and you did the perfect will of God, maybe you shared it, maybe you talked, maybe you raised a family, you didn't have time, whatever you did, if you did the will of God, that was it. Your reward would be awesome. Because it's more about coming short of the glory means fulfilling the will of God completely. I've been using the example of the will of God as if a mother was a woman who had, you know, 4 or 5 children, and the Lord was really wanted her to spend her, not go work, pay a price, not work, stay at home, raise those kids, and raise them right. And they raised, and she ended up doing that. And one of them ended up being a Billy Graham, and the other ones ended up being part of the ministry or something like that. That she did the perfect will of God, though she personally never won her soul. The reward she got from what came out of her children was because she raised. She stopped everything. She said, "I'm not going to work, honey. I hope you don't mind that I don't work, and we both work." So I feel like God's telling me to stay with the children. So you choose that. That's the perfect will of God for your life. And you do that. God's going to go. He's going to reward you as being very fruitful with much fruit. Amen. So we got to get the image and idea of understanding that God has everybody doing a little bit different thing. Some focusing on nothing but winning souls. Some people focus on keeping souls fed. Very important. If you're called to keep souls fed like a pastor is supposed to do, maybe you may not win that many to Jesus, maybe a few here and there, but maybe you keep those that have gotten born again fed and nurtured where they go out and do their job, then you've done your job. If you do a half-baked job, because I got to get out there and do more witnessing instead of focusing on feeding the church, you know, and then let the church do the ministry. See, the rewards you get if you focus on exactly, say, God told you to focus on not evangelism, but feeding the sheep, building them up, encouraging them so that they make it into the will of God in their life, then what have you done? But you've done exactly what God says. It's not about we're trying to get rewards by how many souls we get saved. Our reward is not coming short of the glory of God. Sin is coming short of the glory. And not coming short means doing the will of the Father, period. Don't ever let anybody tell us anymore, "Oh, if you're not bearing fruit by winning souls to Jesus," well, you better describe what you mean by that, because what I've heard of it now, I know that that's not true. Winning souls to Christ is like our soul getting saved. We're already born again. What else is there to get born again? Nothing. Our spirit, our soul gets renewed and saved, changed, thinks different, so our thinking will save us. Think clear, we save ourselves. A lot of trouble, a lot of time, a lot of bad decisions. The word saves our mind. It gets us to think correctly. Amen. All right, Andrea, there you go. Carmen, $5. Thank you, Lord, for Carmen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for a blessing in her life. I thank you for financially sustaining her. I thank you for opening that provision for her, Father, for the job she needs, for the provision she needs, however she can do it. God, open that up. What seems impossible, make it possible. God, in Jesus' name, make it possible. Nothing is impossible. When you put your trust in God, you know what I'm talking about. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Amen? When you're trusting in his word. Oh, yeah. Trusting his word will save you every day. You get saved every day. Trusting God's word will save you a lot of trouble. It's going to save you a lot of repentance and having to spend time forgiving yourself. You're going to save yourself thousands of hours of wasted time by being grafted into the word. It's going to save you time. It's going to save the way you think. All right, Carmen. Hallelujah. Whatever that was. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Open up the windows of heaven and bless God. Bless that provision. Bless that realm. Bless that place. Open up that arena, the arena of provision, the arena. God, in Jesus' name, make a way where there seems to be no way. Because that's when you find the highway of heaven. Highway of heaven, highway of heaven, the highway of heaven. Wow. Jesus, increase and multiply. Open, open, open. Favor, favor, favor. In Jesus' name. Tonight, tonight, tonight. Now. Let it be done now. Let it be done now. All right, Shalanda, $10. Thank you, Shalanda. God bless you, Shalanda. Thank you for your love for God. Thank you, Lord, for your for the style of person that you are. God has made you a certain style and a certain way. And God has really wanted to show you that the uniqueness of who you are in his eyes is like being like Jesus. Jesus was the most unique person in the world. Why? Because if he would have tried to be like somebody else, it would have been idolatry in a sense. He didn't try to be like anybody. He was himself. He was who he was created to be. When we start trying to make ourselves into something that we're not created to be, we create an idol. It doesn't really have life in it. It's just kind of, okay, let's go find out what so-and-so is doing and do that. Okay. Okay. Instead of nothing is impossible. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what you want me. You want me to do that, right? Me. Yes. Jesus said when he walked into the, after he came out of the wilderness, went into the temple and said, the Lord hath anointed me. Me is a really big, important word to know. If me is all about Jesus, then me is good. If me is all about me, then it ain't. The Lord said, he hath anointed me. He wouldn't have shamed the word me because me was who he was. Thank you, Lord, for Shonda. She's never ashamed of who she is as a person. Hallelujah. Yeah, Paulette, $15. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. Thank you, Lord, for giving Paulette dreams and visions. God, give her dreams, give her vision. Give her understanding of who she is and who you made her to be. And who she wants to be, because when we desire to be who God made us to be from our spirit man, our born again spirit man. See, you know this, Paulette, already. But when you get born again, your spirit man is the only part of you that's totally in the image and likeness of Jesus. It's you, the new you. It's the new you in the pure, unadulterated image of Jesus. Your spirit man. That means that Paulette is now in the image of God. She is now righteous in God, because you don't have to try to be righteous. You are born again, and you are righteous because you are born again of the Father. Amen? Yeah, you are born again of the Father. Hallelujah. And so, you know, letting that part of you start taking over your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Impartation, God, impartation in Jesus' name, that you're going to show Paulette how to, the Bible says, let two or more agree, is touching something. Lord, that you're teaching Paulette how to come into agreement with who she already is. She doesn't have to try to become something. She already is. The new Paulette is already been created and ain't going to get any better
in your spirit, man. Your soul is a part of you that has to get rid of the old Paulette, as wonderful as she was, and get the new one, because you know the new one, the total new one, is the greater one. And I thank you, Lord, for the passing away of pain, the heartache, the suffering, the times that just mess with her, God, in Jesus' name, that she's a conqueror. She's more than a conqueror in Christ. She's winning that battle tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Blessed hope of Christ is that you have been born again, and now the real you is in the image of Jesus, and now your mind is trying to become just like your spirit, man, as far as purity and knowing the voice of God. Amen. That's part of you that knows the voice of God without question. It's your spirit, man. No question at all. Not even a confusion, not any, oh, I wonder if that's God. Your spirit, man, knows for sure. Yeah, for sure. All right, Sally, $20. Thank you for Sally from UK, London. Thank you, God, for getting her hopes up in areas where they've been down a little bit. In Jesus' name, I command her hopes to come forth. I command her spirit, God, to impart to her soul hope for tomorrow. Well, tomorrow, this is some maybe I can have it. Yeah, tomorrow. Today, let it be today. God, bring hope today in those areas where she struggles, where she battles. Well, we all have those places where we struggle, where we groan. God, let her find solace. Let her find peace in Jesus' name, and find those places, God, to become strengthened and encouraged and built up, amen, and find hope and in reality, not in some fake phony hyper gospel that's but to find it that who she really is in Christ Jesus, what her calling is, God, serve you and to prosper for you, Jesus. Sally is supposed to prosper for you. Oh, there you go. Sally is supposed to prosper for you, Jesus. It's all about you. So, Sally, I know you made this all about the Lord, but it's like the Lord saying, renew your vow before him, that it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about prospering you and your kingdom and your will. And I guarantee, Sally, if you do that, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, you know, business-wise, because business can come. Business is the provision. The business of the Father is the provision of the Father in many different fashions, in many different ways. Amen? So I thank you, Lord, for that prosperity, that blessing, that provision, in Jesus' name, come forth now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come forth now in Jesus' name. Live and dwell and move and have your being in the Father, in the kingdom. Amen. Be blessed. Be opened. May your eyes see. May your eyes know. May you know the voice of God in Jesus' name. You know, areas of weakness that we all have, that part of your soul that is longing. Well, let her weaknesses become her greatest strengths. Let her find herself trusting you in ways she never has before and find herself being blessed and drawing the blessings of God, because the blessings of God have already been provided for. It's the key to unlocking them is the thing. What's the key? Keys of knowledge, keys of understanding. So we understand, I mean, truly understand, not just think we know, but truly understand. When you understand something, Sally, it opens up the key. It's a key that opens the door for it. Provisions are, we're not trying to fight for the provision. We're trying to find out it. God keeps it hidden without us getting it from him. It's been provided, but now the keys to the kingdom are the understanding of how it works. Once you got that, then it just comes to you, like, basically automatically. And that's what we're looking for, is the automatic realm. Hallelujah. I love that, the automatic realm. Like, automatic payments coming out. You don't have to worry about it. And automatic payments come in, right? Yeah, there you go. Not just being taken out, but coming in. All right, Regina, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Regina. Thank you for the sufferings of Christ, God, that anything she's suffered, that she's given it to Christ, that she's not hanging on to it, she's not trying to fix it herself. Lord, she's given it to you, and because of that, she's finding herself in that place of being restored and renewed, God.
Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God, for that spirit of restoration in her life, God. Restoration is everything being brought back that was lost. Everything. You know, it may come back in a different, with a different face on it, but it comes back. The quality, the quantity, the quality of it, the measure of it. If you lost something, if you lost 50%, 80% of something, that measure can be restored back to you. Like 20 years ago, it was $10,000. Today, it could be $30,000. So what would you get restored back to match that? $30,000 is an example. Hallelujah. The restoration of all things, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The restoration of all things. It's almost like I want you to pray that, Regina. Pray the restoration of all things. Not just, you know, not just a few things, not some of it, not just family members, but thank God for all that. But it's everything, because he wants us to get everything minded, Regina, everything minded. The land, the property, you know, the trees you have, the flowers you have, the ground you have, the people you have, the money you have, the house you have, the way you get everything in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Increase the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of Christ Jesus. It's a key to unlock. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's why knowledge is so vital. All right. Somebody gave a $23 fund. I'm able to find out who it is yet, because it takes a few days to give all the information. For some reason, they make it difficult. I don't know why. I guess because nobody comes out of that giving fund, but it takes a few days to find out who it is. So anyway, $23, we'll just pray for the person, whoever it is. Thank you, Lord, for that $23. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you to bless and not curse. Thank you, Lord, that this person will bless and not curse. They find themselves being blessed and not cursed. Being cursed isn't a devil thing. The curse isn't the devil and the blessing of God. The curse of God is the removal of God's blessing and his protection. So, you know, that's why he says, I will bless you who bless you and curse you who curse you. In other words, I just remove my blessing from them. What they think they have, they ain't going to have it anymore. You know, that's what the curse is. The curse isn't witches and demons and devils getting on you. It's just the fact that God's not going to protect you against those things. Right? That's why we need to walk in the reverential fear of God, so that we are not walking in the curse, which is the not having the blessing, being without the blessing of protection, to move in that place where when we get something, we keep it. When something comes in, it's kept. It's called the keeping power of God. Amen. All right. Awesome. Robin, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Robin. Thank you, Lord, for restoration of her life. I thank you, Lord, for restoring her place with you, emotional, mental. God, her removing everything that fear tried to creep in through, you know, family members, disease, sickness, loss of money, loss of job, loss of whatever it would be, just loss in general. Oh, I thank you for reversing any fears in Jesus' name with the reverential fear and awe of God. Amen. So when you reverently fear God, Robin, as you know, and have awe of him, when he tells you to do something, you don't even think twice about not doing it, because you know what? You know that he's going to provide for you, because you got a covenant with God. When you're in covenant with God, he tells you to do something, that means, you know, hey, when he pays you back or for the loan he gets from you or whatever it is you want to call it, man, God pays back well. I think it'll for a complete, total restoration for Robin also. In Jesus' name, let the what the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, restore all of it, God, in Jesus' name, 100-fold, greater than it was before. You know, Job lost his family. He lost a lot of his wealth, if not all of his wealth. I mean, it's amazing what he lost. Most people don't really realize what he lost. He had his wife who was in grief. Could you imagine living with a husband or a wife in grief, especially a wife, after losing all your children, like in one day? One is enough. All of them, I think there were like seven or I don't remember how many of them, lost them in one day. And then here he was. You got to think about the battle, Robin, that he was going through. He was going through a battle of living. He'd been much better off if he'd have died or she would have died too, than to watch her grieve over that, the pain of that, sorrow of that. Was it my fault? What did I do wrong?
blaming it on her husband, blaming it on herself, blaming it on this and blaming it on that. Wow. Amazing. And Job was left with that, a grieving wife. They lost their money and they lost their family. My Lord and my God, what is that? Do you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Wow. I mean, that within itself was worse than a lot of it. You know, even the Bible talks about living with the wrath of a, what is it, woman that really, somebody, a lady that really got messed over, whatever, you don't want to live with them. You know, that's just the way it is. Right? It's like, it's extremely difficult, and Job was left with that. Wow. Man, and then dealing with everything else? I wouldn't want to be in that man's shoes for a second. The things he had to deal with and had to handle. I mean, it's just way beyond what you could even think or even imagine. I mean, that's like, wow. Whew. You know what I'm talking about, to a certain degree. Yep. You know what I'm talking about. Yes, you do. Man, and to be restored from all that, Job got restored for all of that. Not with the same family. He got different family, but he got double the family, double the wealth, double for his trouble. Let that be God for Robin in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let it be done for her. Hallelujah. Amen. Bianca, $45. Thank you, Bianca. Thank you, Jesus, for standing straight. I see you standing straight up with courage. God giving you courage, like when Joshua got ready to go fight his big fight. You know, he needed courage. He had watched everybody else be used by God. But now he's like, you're going to use me? You're going to use little old me? You know, little old me, I mean, I know you're going to use me, God, but you're going to use me, little old me, like that. It's like God's showing you things he's going to use you in, Bianca, that you've never dreamed, like, oh, my God, not that. That's too big. Because your spirit man already knows it, right? He knows how big it is. The will of God, whether it's raising one child as a single mother. I mean, I'm not saying that to anybody, but if that's what God told you to do and he said do that, you know, that would be greater than having anything. If you're going to be happy, content, full of love, God's going to provide for you. You're going to feel like you're rich when you're poor. You're going to feel like you're going to be blessed. And I thank you, Jesus, for Bianca, God, that greatness doesn't mean being the president of the United States. Greatness means doing the complete will of the Father. You know what I'm saying to Bianca? I think this is your heart, Bianca. I'm well pleased with you, my good and faithful servant. I'm well pleased with you. Wow. Well pleased with you. Amen, Jesus, for Bianca. Let that be done, God. Let that be done. Wash away all the insecurities, all the things that we think that we can't do it. Thinking that we can't do it is nothing wrong with that. But it's when we don't take the next step that it becomes a problem, because the next step is, I can't do it, but Jesus, I know you can. Jesus himself even said, Father, you know, I can't do this. I got to do another, not my will, but your will be done. But, you know, I need some help. This is going to be, like, too big for me, and, you know, I can't do this. He knew that his Father imparted his strength to him. He could do all things. All what things? All anything things? No, the will of God, the purpose of God. Take strength to focus on what God has called you to do without thinking. You got to go out and do this and do all these things to be, you know, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a great businessman, a great businesswoman. I want to be wealthy. I want to be, you know, be able to give a lot of me. No, it's the will of God. He said, get behind me. I don't know you. What was that talking about? That was talking about the will of God. It wasn't about going to hell. Something it was about, I didn't really know you. You didn't do my will. How can I reward you and bless you? It's like, yeah, birthed you and then you ran off. Well, that's what happens to a lot of people, Bianca. if they get birthed in the kingdom, then they run off doing their own thing all their whole life. Well, if they hit, God didn't say, okay, I don't know you're going to hell. He says, no, get away from me. I don't know you. You know, get away from me. In other words, you know, you can't sit next to the throne to be at the throne room. You're going to be way back, 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 way back in the back. Yeah, I think it was for Bianca, God, that she has a heart for that. Amen, that she will do it. She will live in it. She will dwell in it. Amen. The will of God is her food. It's how she lives. It's how she breathes. It's how it makes her happy. Thank God for money. Thank God for all those things. But if making money for God, if God is you making money for him and that's all you did, then you'd be happy with making money. But if it's making money is all of our dream and it's not God's mystery, God will stop everything and just focus on making money, which some people are called to do it. That's going to make them happy if they keep their eyes on Jesus in it. What makes us happy, blessed and happy are those who, you know, yeah, you can talk all Matthew 5, blessed and happy. God wants to make you happy. Really, really cool. Okay. Oh. All right, Angela Lanham, 888. Sorry, Angela, I guess I don't know what happened. My bell is not working tonight on my offering thing. I don't know how I messed it up, but I do. Oh, nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Angela, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to pray for Kevin, for Angela, her brother. 888, thank you for that. 888, my sister. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. Almost missed that. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Jesus, for your love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for Kevin, Angela's brother. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you for convicting them and drawing them to not just religion, not to church, but to Jesus, to God. What he's looking for is true relationship with God. Religion, it just gets old and dry, and you know it's just worthless. But relationship, it's like you're in a relationship with somebody. You know, wow! Can you imagine being in the same house and not having a relationship with that person as far as. You know, you're supposed to be close to them and you can't even get, you know, all you do is see them get up in the morning, they go to work, and come back at home late at night, and then they go back to bed and never see them, never talk to them. How horrible that would be. Yeah, gee, we thank you, Lord, for Kevin, God, that he will begin to know you, to be in the same house with you and know you, to fellowship with you, to know that you can touch him, that you can heal him, you can deliver him, you can show him the truth, you can show him that you want to prosper him, that prosperity is the will of the Father, but when you're in the will of the Father, everything you need is provided for you supernaturally. Thank you, Lord, for that with angels and brothers. In Jesus' name, draw him to the cross, Father, where we can see what you did for him as a person, the person of Jesus, the person of Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, open it up, God. Bring great pleasure. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Angela, that realm of pleasure. God, I think the whole realm of pleasure, how to please the Father, how to please the Father. Because when you please somebody, every time you go to work, Angela, and you please the boss every day, you're going, Angela, my God, man, you did it again. It's amazing. All right, see you tomorrow, boss. Okay, bye, Angela. You know, it's like you walk into work going, I don't even know how I did that. But I, you know, made the boss happy. And pretty soon that boss would be going like, I need you a little bit closer to the throne room in here. We're working things, where we're doing things, where things click, where things go. Because I think you can be a good clicker. You can make things click. You can make things work. You can make things go, Angela. Yeah. Why? Because you pleased him. When a boss has a business, you know, or somebody has a ministry or a company or something, and you please them, that's their life. You know, maybe God gave them that life to have, right? That's their life in God. And their whole purpose, they feel like, is to make this thing successful. and you're in there, you know, my God, making it work, making things happen. You know, he's going to want to be close to you because you're close to his baby. It's like kissing somebody's baby. He said, that's the most beautiful child I think I've ever seen in my life. And the mother goes, oh, they can never forget you said that and what you said. Why? Because it was their baby. When you take care of somebody's baby, their business, whatever it is, and you do right and you do good and you're well-pleasing to them, they're going to have you right up there next to the throne room. Guarantee you. Same thing with Jesus. Same thing with the Lord. Hallelujah. Open that up, dear Jesus. And let it come forth right now, God, by the power of God. And then, Angela, thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks for, I don't even know how I better check and make sure I'm not missing anybody else. Right? Because I don't see 888 from anywhere, anybody. Now, the last offering I hear for you, Angela, is 31 something, 33. Yeah, 33. Yeah, March 10:50. Yeah, Mark. Thank you. I got that. I did get that. Thank you. Enough. It shows in PayPal. Okay. Yeah. I mean PayPal. The reason I'm saying is I never saw it. Usually it shows up in my. It'll click up in my thing, and show, that's why I like people to. If we go past that number, then let me know because sometimes it just doesn't show. It doesn't show anywhere. I appreciate it though. I know it's there. I believe you, of course. So that it just never showed. It never showed up on my anywhere on my any of my stuff. But thank you for letting me know about it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you know, I love it when people help me out. I really do appreciate it. Amen. All right. Okay, and then March 50. Yeah, we're gonna do that next. Okay. Hang on a second. All right, yes. And then, wait a minute. Okay. So hang on a second. Hang on just a minute here. Okay. There we go. Good, good, good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. All right, Marga, $50. I did have that one in there. Yeah, Angela said, yeah, I had it. Yeah, because it never really showed coming in, but sometimes the system just messes up. It's really amazing. It does it off and on. All right, Marga, $50. Thank you, Lord, for Marga. Thank you, Lord, for that marriage thing with her. We talked about that thing with Indrika. Indrika, who's been a friend of ours for a long time. I don't know if you heard that about that, Marga. I sent the link out to all of our people today, all our friends today, and about, you know, Indrika, who her and Chris, we've known them for years, got married. Hallelujah. It's awesome. We're going to believe God that for, you're going to believe you, God, that for Marja, in Jesus' name, a new anointing in her life, a favor, a new anointing of finding that person that at the right place, at the right time. Jesus' name, that they catch the wind scent of each other, like a dog can smell the scent of another dog. You know, like animal can smell the scent. Like someone's going to smell your scent, the scent of Marge, and Marge can smell the scent of whoever it is, Jeffrey or Jeff or Jeffy, something, Jeffrey, Jeff. Maybe a middle name. I'm not sure what that is. Last name, first name. Could be. I don't know what that is, but thank you, Jesus, for opening that up. Got to give Mark that hope, that place in Jesus' name to draw in, drawing out of God, and he won't draw out of you. And when we lift up Jesus, we draw in the will of God. Amen. When we lift up Jesus, when we lift him up, when we lift him up, all men, including, yeah, that man, drawn to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, you're showing Margaret more and more how to lift you up, Jesus, how to draw the blessings instead of after, you know, the struggle, the battle, how to draw them. The drawing power of God is so much more powerful than the other thing. Hallelujah. I mean, my Lord and my God. It's like amazing. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Yep. That, my friend, is a fact. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, Marja. God bless you with that. In Jesus' name, that's just like a one-way word or something. I don't. Yeah, I never heard of a one-way word before. That's what it came out of me, like a one-way word. Like a one-way, like ain't no other way but that way. Yeah. If you want a one-way, yeah. Yeah, so. All right, give me just a second, and I'll be right back. All right, Mark, yeah, cool. That was awesome. All right, bless your money, God, too. That's it. Appreciate it. All right, Nikki and Charles, play for Joshua in full payment given. Let's say we only got part of it. Amen. So we're going to believe the spirit of restoration. I'm telling you, I keep getting these words about the spirit of restoration, not just restoring some little thing that we only got half of. We could have been, you know, not little, but whatever. But restoring, the spirit of restoration. And how do we receive the spirit of restoration? What is restoration? Let's look at the word restoration for a second. I think I'm going to give you an idea. Because part of the prophetic realm is to give people what they need. Give them heavenly information. Heavenly information. Okay? Restoration, Nikki, and everybody who's got received the words kind of like this tonight in the realm of this restoration realm. The action of returning something. The action of returning something to a former owner condition. The restoration of Andrew's sight, the repairing, fixing, the mending, the refurbishment, reconditioning, the return of a hereditary monarchy, a hereditary monarch to a throne, a head of state or government or a regime to power, the restoration of the Portuguese monarchy. So in other words, it's like a position, a place of authority, like instead of being a barely make it person because something came along and stole and robbed what belonged to God from you and your heritage and your family. Oh, your heritage and your family. Listen to that. I just saw something there. Something being restored in your heritage realm. You're talking about your mother's inheritance and all that, right? The natural physical inheritance. Sometimes you have to listen really close to what's being said because I don't even get it always. And I know you do, but the restoration of like a position, This is more about a position. When you're in like you're the president of the company, you get knocked down to, just one of the board members or whatever, right? An executive, and your pay cut was like, $100,000 a month left. Why? Because you lost your position. And positions with God, Nikki and Charles, have to do with payroll. Yeah, believe it or not, not just literal physical payroll, but honor and the place of kings who are kings, man, they have a treasure. David's treasury was like amazing. If he'd only been like, one of the king's friends he would have had near the treasure. So when you lose a position, the Lord, I think I just got out there. So Jesus, I thank you for restoring the position in her hereditary realm and her heritage. In Jesus' name, that place, whatever got lost, through, somebody serving the devil or whatever they did, you might got it passed down, to you because of that. That place of loss of position 3 generations ago or whatever it was, that God uses you to restore that, to bring that back, to use you to restore it, to use your faith. Yeah. Amen. I don't know if you're hearing that or not, but thank you, Jesus, for that spirit of restoration. When I see restoration, I'm thinking restoring all things. Yeah, all things. Hallelujah. Not just, the one thing. Oh, God, restore that one thing. No, we're talking about it. We're talking about, like, restoration. Positions of authority. Name it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something's going on tonight about that, y'all. I can tell it. I can tell what something's going on. It's not just a one-time shot, a cheap miracle. I'm not calling miracle cheap, but it's not a cheap miracle. It's a miracle that when it works, it stays. It stays. A miracle that's not a cheap miracle. Cheap miracles, you hear all the time. I used to watch Catherine Coleman, Benny, and a lot of those people. Some of those people would lose their healings. So it wasn't that miracles were cheap, but it's like, if it doesn't last long, what good is it? You get a mattress, and first few times you sleep on it, it starts falling apart. What good is it? Oh, I got a brand new mattress. Oh, congratulations. 3 months later, like, oh, man, that's a piece of junk. Yeah. Let me pray for Joshua tonight. Father, for Joshua, God, that he find his sufficiency in you, Jesus. I know he's going to find his sufficiency or who he is or what he's made of. What kind of person he is without Jesus. And he'll be an example to generations of how to find Jesus. That's why sometimes God allows a generation of people, to go astray, and then he saves them so that they can understand how those people feel. There's no greater person praying for you than somebody who's been exactly where you've been, basically, so to speak, overall, been there, done that, know what it's like, know all the things you go through, and then they get saved, feel the Holy Ghost, and be used by God. Lord, use Joshua like that. Amen, in Jesus' name. Gloriously save, gloriously deliver, gloriously move him in. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah. Deborah and Mark, $74, thank you for Deborah and Mark. God, I keep, every time I hear y'all's name, I hear something about the names of God. And I know I've talked about that for a while, me, the Lord, the Lord telling me, and I'm telling you, I don't know what it is about the names of God, but God is wanting you to have a foundation of that. And to be able to know you can succeed. Because if you have them here, okay, here we go. you have the names of God written on you, or you have revelation of them, you know, God writes them on, like Peter, when God told Peter, he is my son, he is the Messiah, when God told him, when the Father told him, he went, oh, man, he wrote it on him, like Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah. He wrote that in him. That's what engrafted word is the Father writing it inside you. So when you get the names of God written on you, guess what happens? Everything that that name represents becomes yours, or, you know, access or authority, or, you know, they see somebody coming down the road and they got that marking on their, a certain tattoo, or got a marking on their body, or got something on their shirt, or something on their hat, or something on a badge they got, or whatever. It tells, you know, I have access to all the armies of the world. Don't mess with me. If you mess with me, you mess with all the armies. So it's like I think I'm making this pretty clear, but that Deborah and Mark, will you guys ask God to, you know, show you the name? I don't even know the names of God. I'm being real blunt with you. I don't know the names of God. I mean, I know them, but I don't have a revelation of all of them. But it's like, for some reason, God is choosing you guys to represent the names of God. And have them written on you. Like, I keep seeing them being written on you. Yeah. You know, I've never had anybody, I never told anybody this before in this manner. I've never seen it before. Why y'all? Why you? I don't know. But it's not like you can just go, oh, I memorized the names of God. Now I got them. You know what I'm talking about. That's not it. That's maybe part of it, maybe started, but God writing them on you, in other words, them becoming yours, the names of God, may not be a bunch of theological information. May just be, this is what this means. Like when God told Moses, Moses, I am that I am. You know, it's like God was writing it on him, like engraving it on his head. Like, so when he went to Egypt, And he said, by this time tomorrow, Pharaoh, it shall be flea time. The fleas are coming, or whatever. And because he had the name written on him, God just, you know, in his presence, fire. It's a burning bush. It was more like a branding. Like I used to do, my dad, used to, you know, we raised cattle. And we branded cattle, you know. I always hated that because it smelled bad and burned them, and I hated the fact that it was hurting them, you know, burning them. But anyway, so it's like God was burning his name in him. So when he went to, you know, Egypt, and the angels saw that name written on him and said, by this time tomorrow, the angels went, okay, by this time tomorrow, you got it. You got it, Moses? Yeah, God's name written on me. I am that I am. Oh, oh. It's like, you see what I'm saying? Something like that, you know. I've never heard it before. That was an amazing connection on that. You know, I think of the burning bush. All of a sudden, I saw the burning bush. Like back in the day, we'd start a fire, you know, make a fire, and we would, you know, put the branding iron in there and get to get it hot, right? And Dad would know just exactly how, you know, I don't know how red it was or something. He would know it's hot enough. He didn't ever want to brand it with it being half hot. He hadn't even heard it worse. And he was a compassionate person. He would. And you know, just how long did that be? And man, it was like, wow. So God was branding on Moses when God told Moses, who do I tell this thing? I am that I am. You know, it's like the fire brand, like branding that on his forehead so that the angels would know who to obey. Like in the book of Revelation about the 144, he seals them with a seal. You know. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Thank you. Bless you. Wah. All right, Chris, $100. Thank you, Chris. Hope you're having fun down there. And without me, you know, I get to ride in the truck with Chris, prophesying to him for about an hour, talking to him for about an hour, talking on his way to taking this kid on vacation. We gave him a word. He needed to go take a break. And he's kind of like, oh, man, Randy, that was hard. Go take a break. I said, yeah, I know. Your brain just starts going crazy. So, so he took off and started doing that. And I hope you're having fun, man. And you hear this, or maybe you just got through having fun. But, yeah, thank you, Lord, for that blessing of rest. Thank you for that revelation. Because when you rest in God, guess what happens? The answers just start rising up. Because the harder we strain and struggle and strain at a gnat and swallow a camel type thing, you know, which we do when we're in anxiety, or our brain is too tight, not unwound enough, keeping it unwound, that the thoughts, that the answers can't just float up. And I've used this example many times, but like I used to watch that show, that lawyer show, Ben Matlock. And he would be trying to figure out a case and couldn't figure it out, get frustrated and mad at himself. And his girlfriend would call him at the cute little whatever name was. Ben, why don't you come and have dinner with me? I'm over here. You know, he goes, I'm busy. Now, come on, Ben. Okay. He comes over there and he's sitting there relaxing, having fun, enjoying himself, relaxing his brain. All of a sudden, this thing he'd been trying to figure out for days just floated up. There it was. Why? Because his brain rested. That's probably the greatest way I could think of, Chris, of how to explain the need for that. You know, we think we can just, we're not going to stop until we figure it out, you know. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's just that God wants us to seek after him about things. But then there comes that process of relaxing your brain. You know, the answers are there. It's like we talked about, the treasures are already ours, just having the key. What's the key in this particular place? Resting that brain. With Ben Matlock, it was having dinner with that little spicy little girlfriend here. And she would just take him to a whole other world. And that's what he needed. He needed somebody to distract him from his inner focus and, you know, almost anxiety, you know, and all of a sudden, like, he started thinking, oh, my God, I got the answer. Of course, she was going to take credit for it, right? So he's kind of playing around. Oh, yeah, when you came to sit with me and have me find answers. Yeah, because she distracted him from his thing. Yeah, and he got just, you know. Yeah, because when you're a workaholic or you want to really do big things and help, you know, do big things, you know, you just think you can think it in, you know. So we do think it in, but it's allowing to relax and let the thinking part relax, and then it floats up, draws. It draws near, nigh, and deep. It draws nigh and deep. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Bless him, God, give him wisdom, and show him how to, just show him ways to rest his brain. Being distracted is one of the, finding some kind of a distraction. You know, I like hunting too. I haven't done it much in years. I got a shotgun back there in my closet, but my daddy, when he died, one of the things I got, the only thing I got, actually, it's the only thing I got. I never even thought about that. It's the only thing I got was that shotgun that we used to do. And literally, you know, yeah, they really did a number on that one, but God bless me, you know, he's taking care of me, he's showing me something. When I say God takes care of me, I want knowledge from God. I want to know what God's saying. I'll take that more than money anytime. I'll take that first, literally, because you can live off the word of God. Literally, when man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word, when you get words, man, oh my God. I love this, doing a show, because I get to give a lot of work, and I listen to God talk and share and say things and go, my God, you are amazing, Jesus. You're amazing. All right. Sure, $100. Amen. To be productive, God, I thank you for showing her how to, letting her enter. And maybe the same thing connected to Chris there about resting your brain, relaxing, trying to figure out how it's going to work. You know, hey, who doesn't do that? I do that a lot. All right. Chris does it. Everybody does it. We're made to want to figure it out. So being able to, you know, get that revelation from heaven, be able to get that thing from God. Yeah, to relax, to rest that thinking, that thinker, and you know, the things that stress us, right, our overthinking. And relax and rest. And because when you enter into a rest, sure, what happens is, because we're made to rest, it's in the Bible, it's really plain, really, really clear. They even stoned people. Chris, you're not going to look at Cheryl. They stoned people back in the day. If you didn't take the Sabbath, they stoned you. Read it for yourself. I couldn't believe I was reading the other thing and going, what? I mean, I should have known that already, right? I've read it 100 times, but I never do it. You know, my brain got it, but. I mean, they stoned people for not taking the Sabbath. They stoned them. You know why? one of the things is if you didn't rest yourself, you would become a pain in the neck. Don't tell anybody I said that about me. They'll probably agree. But because you can't relax and you get stressed and you're always trying to, you're working hard. It's called anxiety. It's anxiety. Everybody deals with anxiety. So what does rest do? It allows you to, because God said rest it. In other words, He made us rest. So when we rest it, we get blessed. If we don't, we die. We die on the vine. Why? Because not talking about physical death. I'm talking about that can happen too. But I'm talking about just death to, we slowly begin to dwindle away. So when you, because they killed him, didn't that just happen? That's pretty tough stuff, man. They stoned him. Wow. God was serious about some things. Why was he so serious about that? Because it allowed a person, because we're made to, when you go to the manual on how your car is made or whatever it's made, and you're not putting oil in there, like you said, and water in there, like you said, and going to check on certain things, like you said, you're going to end up, that car's going to die on you. It's not going to function anymore. It's going to be, not be able to work. Yeah. So same thing with us. We got to think of ourselves as like our car. We change the oil every so much. So often we change, we put water in it. But we know if we don't do it, giving an engine all that it needs is what helps it work easy. So we're all into working easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So God is causing you to, when you rest, when God tells you to, your thinking processes, instead of being stoned or killed or dying, they bring life. They bring answers. They bring, you start being able to figure something out. Why? Because you're thinking fresh. You're looking at things fresh. You're looking at a fresh new thing. You're not all tired and like, God, am I ever going to figure this thing out? Dear Jesus. And then we relax and rest. And, the blessing comes. Because the Lord said, blessed are those who obey my voice. They shall be blessed. Cursed are those who disobey my voice. Why would he kill people over the Sabbath? Because we're made for that. If we don't do it, let's do it on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. Do it anytime. We need a day to rest. Rest that brain. Rest that mind. When you do that, guess what? It's not about going on vacation. Because a lot of people go to vacation, and either vacation itself is rest because you're distracted from your normal routine. That within itself is a rest. But then learning how to rest your brain, that's a gift from God. It takes God to show you how to do that. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Maybe we talked about that before. I can remember, but for the blessing to come, the blessing comes because now you're doing what you're created to do, and that is work six, take a day off, work six more, take a day off. That's the way we're made to do. And we mess that up. We mess up our ability to stay alive, to live, to create, to make new. You make mercies new every morning. You know why most people, mercies aren't new every morning? It's because that one day of Sabbath, well, they're supposed to rest, and there's not a renewal process going on. And some people die of diseases years later. I can tell you some people I know personally that ate healthy, did everything right, because they wouldn't rest. I would tell these people, you need to rest, man. You can take a break. Oh, I think God wants us to enjoy working if we enjoy it. I said, no, that's not what it says. Israel did the same thing. And guess what? God came and captured them. Not because they didn't rest, but they didn't let the land rest. That's very important. The land cannot produce its full fruit, Cheryl, if it's not resting. God, even my daddy knew that on the farm. My daddy would walk me and say, yeah. I said, why aren't you farming on that little plot right there? If I'm letting it rest, I'm going, what are you going to do? What? I didn't even know what he was talking about. He said, yeah, we're supposed to let the land rest according to, the good book. I don't know what he called it. But. I went, what? You actually do it? He actually did it. And honestly, God, my father was the most highest, one of the highest producing, you know, yields. You know, every stock produced a lot of fruit because he did that. It doesn't make any sense. But the devil obviously robs people of that. So when you don't let your dirt rest, guess what? It doesn't produce full fruit. We're thinking we're working half, we're working 50%, 30% instead of 100%. Got to let the land rest. And then it will have, then it gets its strength back. That's what happened. My dad said, it gets its strength back. Because when you use it, it's using the strength. So you got to let it rest. You know, he would even do it a whole season. You know, the crop season was up, planting corn, maize, whatever it was. The whole season of, you know, ripening, harvesting, the whole season he was at rest. So the whole process of producing time, was a time that he rested it before it got a break. And then the next time, man, it produced like, man, I mean, because that's the way God made it. Who'd have ever thought of that? Who'd have ever thought? You know, that's why they just, this doesn't make any sense. You got to let the land rest, the dirt, this dirt stuff? Why? We're made from dirt. We come from dirt. And that tells it more than anything. We don't let the dirt rest. Don't produce. It's just the way it is. You can't change it. You can't fix it. You can't enjoy your work more to act like, you know, like my person I'm talking about. Oh, but I enjoy working. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy going. So I know. But the Bible, I mean, I told him. I don't know how many times I told him. Bunches of times. Eat healthy, dead healthy, and then all of a sudden, boom. You know why? When you let your body rest, it can't restore the things that it needs to restore. So you end up with some mess after 10 years, 5 years. You end up with a mess. Mess because you didn't rest. Got a mess because you didn't rest. Oh, yeah. Rest. That's what strange words tonight. I mean, what, you know, really cool, simple, but man, but that Israel, the reason they didn't let the land rest, they said, you know, they couldn't put that together. Dirt? Yeah, God made that dirt to rest. Makes no human sense whatever unless you understand God. My daddy understood that, and he was a smart man in many ways. All right, Don Antonio, 126, thank you for that. Lord, for the favor that keeps him clicking, keeps him ticking. God, that Donald keeps understanding, finding that way to yield things over to him. Like when you went to that test of, you know, not going to work and going to stay with your family, you know, and you were, you know, God, you were honoring God with, you know, spending Sunday with your family. Yeah, that's what you were doing. You were doing like what I was telling Cheryl and Chris. You were resting. You know, working with children, staying home with children is not exactly rest, but it's like you rested that labor part of you and focused on your family. And, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that, for the strategies. See, that's one thing, Donald. You know, I've just been talking with Chris and Cheryl about this, and this is kind of going over into you a little bit because I'm starting to see something here that's amazing that I've never seen before. I've never seen it before, honestly, like this. Wow, the strength, because it loses its strength to produce. My Lord and my God. Donald, are you hearing this? I know you are. And my daddy even told me that. I'm going, like, what? Dirt loses its strength? And I just believed him because he was my daddy, right? He was a smart man, big, tall man. 6'2", dark wavy hair. None of the family got any of his stuff. I don't know how he did that, but anyway, sure enough, they would produce more yield, or each stock would produce more seeds and heavier, thicker, because when they go take them to the grain elevator, which I worked at, my dad ran it, they weighed the grain. You get a truck full of grain, same amount of grain, get two trucks, same amount of grain, same weight of the truck, everything. And daddy's grain would weigh like, you know, a quarter more, percentage more. But one reason, is that he let it rest. That was it. When you did it with your children, see what I'm saying? We're connecting to something here. When I get a revelation, we go with it because why? It's a heavenly information. It's heavenly food. When you eat heavenly food, you get heavenly thinking. Eat earthly food, you get earthly thinking. God made the earth. You got to learn what he says about the earth and how it works. Because he made it, he knows how we're made. Amen? So thank you, Lord, for Tanya, God. Thank you, Lord, for quickening her, God. Thank you for giving her that the information that she needs. This revelation from God. Like you telling Donald, hey, I think Randy gave you a word about that, working less and making more. Of course, it was the Lord giving it, of course. You know that. We're all saying that. But it's like the Lord was saying to you, he gave you information, and you reminded him of that information. If we could remember the information, it's kind of like almost like Paul, Tanya. It's like Paul was telling Timothy, remember those words you got? Go back and listen to them. I think they have something to do with fighting your fight. Yeah. See, people still haven't got a hold of that. They think, oh, that's only the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. We've got to go to the Word of God. 1 Timothy 3:18 says, talks about the Word of God being for our correction and all that. Of course it is. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, go back and listen to your prophecies. There might be something in there that maybe you're missing, misunderstood, maybe you didn't quite get it right. And Tanya's told you, I'm just putting this all together. But Tanya could say, hey, like Paul would say, hey, Donald, go back and listen to those prophecies that you got from the Lord. They're going to help you fight this fight. Thank you, Jesus, for the practical understanding we're getting tonight. I'm speaking to your people about practical, everyday things that we don't realize how important, just like Israel didn't realize. Well, God surely ain't going to run. He let their country, he let all of Israel be taken over by Babylon, y'all, because he didn't let the land rest. That was the biggest thing. Who could ever thought God would say, who cares about the dirt that much? But God, why would God care about the dirt? I mean, it's just dirt. No, it's not. God made it. He knows how it works. And if we work with him in it, we get blessed. If we work against him in it, we get cursed. Or the blessing is removed. The strength, it doesn't yield its strength. I'm going to say this in scripture talks about it doesn't yield its strength. I'm going to go back and study that because there's something here with this. It's going to be very practical, very powerful, and very equipping. My God, thank you, Jesus. Blessing God. Bless Donald and Tanya in Jesus' name to walk in your will, to walk in your word. Prophetic word, when they come from God, they're God's word. They're just like God's word. Timothy was told by Paul that they were and that they would help him fight the good fight. So. We need to pay more attention to the Word of God, I think. I know I do. I am learning. I'm reading and learning, seeing. All right, Jeff and Uke, 250. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Uke. God, we thank you, Jesus, for the fire of God, like a fire, like a new fire, a new fire, a new energy, a new zeal, the fire of zeal of fire of zeal, Right? So you've got to remember that, too. We're giving these words about the Sabbath. This word's going to pass down to four people so far, to a certain degree at least. And remember that. You get so fired up. What's that scripture? The scripture that I kind of started to say, Jeff, and you quote this. It's your own zeal is eating you up. So in other words, we got to make sure that we don't let the zeal we have. Zeal is good. It's awesome. It's new fire. It's energy. It's like, my God, you can get a lot done. But if we don't take that time and take off, because, the world, the flesh, and the world will dictate to you. Who cares about the dirt, man? Who cares about people taking a break? We got to get this job done. And they don't realize, by not stopping and resting, that they're not going to get the job done. Eventually, it's all going to shut down. And teaching people how, with the Bible, like my daddy taught me that stuff. And he knew I wasn't really... I went to church because they went to church. They were my mom and daddy. The only reason I knew anything about God at all, I didn't really know anything about God. I didn't like it. I didn't like going to church. I didn't get off on any of it. But my daddy taught me, he said, you got to do this. It's a God thing. A God thing. So remember that in, all you do. Wow, look at that. It went through four words.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeff. And you've got the zeal, the new zeal, which is a God thing, but that it doesn't eat them up. In other words, destroy you. Eating you up means it's going to eat you up, right? Unless you make yourself stop and say, okay, the Word of God says we must rest because we are dirt. The physical dirt has to rest. The Bible says we have to have a Sabbath. Why? Why? Because our brain will not produce. It uses its strength, and we're not yielding strength, strong ideas, because the strength of our dirt, our brain, which is all functioning, it's not functioning to the highest level. What do? We work 7 days a week, 365 days a year, thinking we're going to work harder, get more done, and it's not that. It's thinking clearer, and it's working smarter. You can't work smart. Just because you're smart doesn't mean you work smart all the time. Working smart means to get that rest and don't let the zeal that God has given be used to you. I'm just to be honest with you. When things start going right with me and I start getting, you know, when you're really in the flow of like, wow, something really big. I'm in a flow right now. It's man, I work myself into a hole. And God says, what are you doing? You don't know any better? Your daddy taught you. I taught you. What are you doing? Because my strength is gone. Wow, because God made it to where we get our strength back by resting. Enter into, wow. Oh, think about this, y'all. Jeff, you enter into the rest of God, Hebrews. Enter into his rest. Let's look that up. No shall have revelated. I love to revelate. It's a revelating to me. Let me call it prophesying. It is prophesying. But it's revelating. Wow. And I eat this up. I can live on this stuff. I do live on this stuff. All right. You know what we're looking at here? What are we looking at? Let's distract myself. Faith. All right, I'm losing track. Hang on a second. Oh, the rest. Okay, let's read this. This revelation here. We're giving heavenly information, prophecy. Is heavily information that comes up many different ways. All right. Enter into the rest of the Lord. All right, here we go. All right, thank you, Jesus. Let's go here and look at this. Hebrews 4:3. This is prophetic. This is prophesying. I'm not just distracted here. This is heavenly information. If we can get it, eat it, like Paul told Timothy, get it, eat it. This is for you personally. This is what makes it more powerful than anything, because it's the Word of God, number one. Number two, it's for you personally. That is amazing, man. Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews 4, verse 2 and 3 and 4. We also receive the good news just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them. Oh my God, look at that. Like the God said rest, they said, what does that mean? It had no value to them. They didn't value it. Wow, it's like Paul told Timothy, value that word. Since they did not share the faith of those who comprehended it. So they did not share the faith of those who comprehended it. Hey, y'all, I'm seeing this for the first time tonight, even though I've read this 1,000 times, probably maybe something like that. My God, where are we going with this? Going with this. This is going to be hot. To fight a good fight. Warfare, a good warfare. You know, don't just box in the air. Oh, okay. Therefore, since the promise remains of
Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. You know, that's what sin is, coming short of the glory. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Right? And just the same thing with this, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it, people that heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, for I swore by my wrath. Look at this. Look how mad God got about this. He didn't get angry. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. See, so the work was finished, right? So what are we looking for? To finish it? No, to enter into it. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, they didn't enter into it. They shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished. We think we've got to work hard and finish it. God says, I need you to enter into it. God had rested on the Sabbath day from all his works, and again in this place. Now, watch this. This is amazing to me. Why would God need to rest? He's saying God rested on the Sabbath. Like, oh, what are you, why? Even he rested on the Sabbath from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest, since therefore it remains that some must enter in, enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. And again, he designates a certain day, saying, David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, there it is. This is my voice, you shall prosper. You disregard it, account it as worthless, you get cursed. You curse yourself. Right. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Whoa. All right, so let's try to wrap this up if we can. My God. Even God rested on the Sabbath, y'all. I mean, you got to think about that. Why would God, I don't have to rest on the Sabbath, but y'all do because I made you like that. And I was made, I always have been, but he still rested on the Sabbath. So there's something about it. God rested, and we think we don't have to? How arrogant can that be for us? For Randy Challen. Pretty arrogant. God rested, you know. Well, we, you know. And then we think we don't have to? That's like of arrogance. I'm telling God, you know, even though you do it, I don't have to do it. And you're God. Wow, this is really hitting me hard, John. I know you hear me say this, but I mean, when I get something, I'm getting it for you. You're getting, you know, it's for you. It's to feed you. Amen. Terrence and Tanisha, 260. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. We thank you, Lord, for the power of God, combining them together like TNT. Like I, you have written your name tonight. For some reason, I put TNT, like TNT, like, you know, dynamite, like. And giving that word to Andrika in their marriage, well, before I knew they got married, hang on a second, about, you know, the 1-2 punch. So I kind of think about it with you now, TNT, like the 1-2 punch, like joining them together, God, in agreement, in Jesus' name, and making them the 1-2 punch, the double punch. Like I kept calling it, what, the double punch? I kept trying to figure out what I was trying to say. I kept seeing it, but I can't explain it. It's a 1-2 punch. Like boom, boom, gong. Boom, boom, gong. Boom, 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 gong. Boom, boom, gong. Gong, 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 gong. Boom, 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 boom. Wow, I love this stuff. It just kind of comes out, man. And I just let it, you know, that's my, yep. The grace of Jesus. Terrence and Tanisha just let it out. It's almost like I hear the Lord saying, like Mary said to Jesus. She was conceiving something, y'all, that was totally, you know, what is just supernatural. It was like the very thing that all of Israel had dreamed about is a Messiah. and all them women in the whole Israelite camp for years, they all believed that one of them was going to bear the Messiah. Floyd Mayweather, y'all are crazy. Of course it's about Floyd Mayweather. Did he boom boom? Chitty 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 boom boom. That's not something else. I'm telling you, this is like unbelievable. We can't let her, you know what? When your zeal eating you up, I'm thinking, because I kept thinking about that. God shows me too. Right? I'm thinking this all personal for me. Also, your zeal eats you up. So what does that mean? It means that you get so zealous. You know, when I get excited about something, I just want to go. I don't care. You know, I don't need a rest. But I got energy, man. I got to go. Well, said, no, I don't care. I know you got energy. Get up and go. Don't get up and go. Do not do it. Randy Chandler, get back here. Don't you dare go to it. I get halfway up and go, okay, God. Okay, my God. We're not getting anything done today. Okay, you're going to get something done today. You're going to rest your dirt brain, and it's going to be able to bear forth more strength. Yeah. I go, that just makes no sense. I mean, it still makes no sense to me today, except the fact that you know God said it. And if he rested, and if the dirt rested, and he tells us to rest, and if we don't, they killed him back then. They're not doing that. That tells you how big this thing is. It's like really, really big. Really huge. And it tears the face of the 1-2 punch. Yeah. Like Floyd Mayweather. I just put that again. Is that what you're saying? That because I'm talking about the 1-2 punch again? Jeff is going like, the 1-2 punch. I'm talking about the 1-2 punch. Just like Floyd Mayweather. Boom, boom, pow. Yeah. 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 Something like that. You know, it's like when he got that in, they were out. They were gone. In other words, his punch was powerful. The problem is when we lose our punching power, when our zeal gets us so excited, we get going, we got plenty of energy. What do I want to rest for when I got the energy? It's because don't let that zeal eat you up, because it will eat you. It'll eat up your ideas. It'll eat up your strength. And when it eats up your strength, then you don't yield. You still produce a crop. That's the thing. My dad, all of the farmers who didn't do what my dad did, of course, I don't know how he learned it from his father or mother, the Bible, or his Uncle John. I don't know. We had an Uncle John as a pastor. I don't know who he learned it from. He never told me. But all the other farmers who didn't do it, they still grew crop. They all looked pretty decent. But when it came to weighing it, my daddy's weight of the grain was, you know, I don't remember the percentage, but it was heavier. Why? Because it was the same amount of grain, but the grain was thicker and fuller and heavier. Wow, just like in the land of the giants. Oh, I just thought about that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. The giant grapes were so huge. God, where are we going with this? I'm telling you, we're entering into this place of taking the giants on. That's what I'm feeling like. I'm feeling like, and yet you would think, you know, we've got less than we've ever had as far as building and, you know, so-called whatever you want to call it, and yet I'm feeling more stronger and more powerful and more in the will of God than I ever have in my life. And I got stuff going on. I mean, yeah, I'm talking about stuff that, you know, I'm watching things happen to other people. It's difficult. I'm fine. I mean, I'm good. But, you know, because they're affected, it affects me to a certain degree. Right? And yet, at the same time, I'm feeling like, my God, every time I go through this thing of feeling of like going through battles, there's something about it when I'm struggling with, you know, of the overwhelm of, my God, I got more stuff going on and heavy stuff. There you go, the word heavy. What's a glory? It's a kabod. It's a heavy. More heavy stuff going on at one time that I can't handle it. And yet I know that that's the way God wants it, and yet that's how I feel. And yet it's like David, when he cried out, God, I can't handle this. And you hear him pray and talk and sing his, oh, God, I'm going down. If you don't come around, I'm going down. You know, like that. And David, and all of a sudden, he's like, he gets it out, and then all of a sudden, boom, he's going like, I got it going on that Jesus. Wow. I got it going. Thank you, Lord. I don't know where I was a little bit ago, but now I'm up and up and at him. Yeah, when it gets heavy. My fruit gets heavier. It does. It gets heavier. My vine gets heavy with the weight of fruit. It's what I call fruit. It's not money. It's not things. Although I like all that stuff, it is the information, the information realm. You give people the right information, they can get anything and everything becomes possible. But they have to receive it and do it. Not just, oh, yeah, that was really great, Brother Chandler. We're going to really think about that. No, okay, when you get to think about it, make sure you do it. Do it. That's what Paul's word to Timothy was. Listen to those prophecies so you can do it. Fighting the good fight means you're doing it. Getting the strength to do it. These words are to strengthen you. Even if they're not saying to you exactly everything, you know, what you did today and read your mouth, it's the word of the Lord. That's what matters. And I know you know that, but thank you, Jesus, for Terrence and Tanisha, for that dynamite, for that power, for that heavy hit, for all the heavy things they've been going through, guys. Like I'm talking about right now, when I go through heavy things, things I can't control, things I'm just watching and can't do anything about them, even had a dream and vision about it, couldn't do a thing about it. It's, you know, I'm like, yeah, couldn't do a thing about it, couldn't do a thing about it. And just watch, and just and the heaviness of it takes me places with God that are heavier than ever. And the heavyweight champion of the world, these people have heavy thinking. They go in to kill, not literally kill, but to take their giant down. And they go in there knowing that, man, they don't get some kind of extra, they don't get some kind of double whammy going on, a 1-2 punch. They're going to get beat up. They know they're going to go down. You know why? What drives them? They can just get in that 1-2 punch, man, that 1-2 punch. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tisha. That 1-2 punch in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just one of those 1-2 punches takes them out. Pow. Boom. Gone. Out. Winner is Terrence and Tanisha. The winners. The hard fought, blood was everywhere. The faces of it beat up, bodies were bruised. They won. They won. Jesus, and they won with him because they were walking with him, talking with him, living with him, dwelling with him. All right, Shannon, $20. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon tonight. And then Nicole, we got Nicole. One more offering there with Nicole. Thank you, Jesus. And then anybody, let me check and see if anybody else is giving tonight. Anything else going on? Okay. All right, Shannon, prayer request tonight. Pastor prophesied 2 separate times the same word. Her or someone like her. If it's her, Jesus will just tell. Jesus will just have to tell her. Can you please pray into that and all the words you've given me, and for confidence to make connections.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sometimes God will bring somebody that's like the person so you can kind of get a taste of it, so it can get you your taste buds going the right direction. Not always. I mean, I've seen this with people. They think this is it. This is the one. And it'll be something like what God's going to bring them, except maybe, you know, probably better. But it gives them a taste, you know, and it gets them, like their juices flowing, in other words. Like you smell a hamburger going, like if I smell a hamburger or meat going, cooking some chicken, some going, and I'm a little bit hungry, I start starving. Because it stirs my juices up to want to eat. makes me hungry. And that's what God is. You know, thanks for that $20, Shannon. It's a blessing that you make them hungry, God. When you're hungry, that's motivation. When you're hungry, that's confidence. Because when you get, you say, man, I'm going to drop everything right now. Here, what it cost me, I'm going to drop everything I got. I'm going to go after that because I'm hungry. Let Shannon be hungry. And with you hungry, Jesus, it'll be done. And let him have that confidence, Father, from the hunger he has. If you're hungry for it, it's going to happen. That's the thing. If you're hungry, I mean, if you're really hungry for it, when it shows up, that steak shows up and smells, you're gonna go after it. I don't care if I have to spend my whole money for the day on that thing. I'm gonna get that thing. It's gonna satisfy me, you know, physically. Things can satisfy you physically. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, open that up, Father, right now in Jesus' name. All right, Nicole, $1.88. Thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. We thank you, Lord, for the appetite you've given her, Father, for your word, for life, for the things you God's giving you an appetite. I'm calling you three different things. Is that because I'm getting tired? I don't know. Wow, I'm getting heavy. Nicole, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for the hunger for those certain. We get a hunger for certain things. The hunger draws you into it for that particular thing. Like if I smell a certain thing, if I start to smell it, somebody cooking on the grill, or it's whatever it is, doesn't matter. It cooks. Somebody cooking vegetables out there on the grill and it smells awesome. You know, so just the smell itself of food. It will make you hungry. And I thank you, Jesus, for Nicole, God, that hunger you've given her, the smell, the appetite you've given her for what you've given it for, that she will never compromise any part of her life for any compromise. God, she will stay the course, and she will seal the deal in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Not looking for something like it, but looking for that thing, the thing, that thing, that thing you have an appetite for. God gives us appetite for things. So we go after it. And if I have an appetite for a certain kind of car or vehicle, you know, I don't care what, you know, how much money it costs. If I got, you know, hey, I'm going to go after it. But that hunger is put there by God. And when God puts the hunger for something, then you just, you know, nothing's going to satisfy you. But that, Jesus said, my meat, what I'm hungry for, what I'm satisfied with is the will of the Father. Nothing else is going to satisfy. It may, you know, fulfill, you know, to a certain degree. You know, but the will of God, as you know, it satisfies us because it becomes our food that satisfies. It's the thing that meets our needs in the natural realm. God is the official meter of our needs, but when we go through things, you know, and God brings us people, brings us, you know, situations, jobs, businesses, you know, opportunities, we go for that. That's going to bring satisfaction. Oh, I got Andrika. I forgot Andrika. Where is Andrika? Okay, here we go. Okay, well, that is that. Okay, I think I did it on my phone. Andrika. Think of a Cushida Borraja. All right, Andrika, I see. Now, I actually put it on my phone, but it didn't show up on my computer. All right, Andrika, $100. So I guess you're going to be last but not least tonight, Andrika. That's the way it worked out. For some reason, my phone, I put your information on my phone, but it didn't show up on my computer. So usually to connect, my phone's connected to my computer. For some reason, it didn't show up. So, wow. Interesting. So that made you the last so far. You know what that means? Shekwali mahande pachwata mashkoli parocha patari. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Mandrika. Sorry, Mandrika. I almost missed that one. I'm going to get my computer connected. To my phone. For some reason, it didn't connect. Jesus, what's up with that? All right. Okay, so we pray tonight for, thank you, Lord, for Andrika.
could choose us. Oh my God.
All right, so we pray for Tyreek tonight, God, $10. God, we thank you, Jesus, for this new beginning, God, this new atmosphere, this new family, this new, the purity, the beauty, the glory. Like, you can see the purity on their faces and on their lives. Like, God, they're just pure before you, Jesus, so pure before you. Father, in Jesus, if this whole atmosphere invades the family, Torrey, Tyreek, God, that ministers to them, that makes them feel settled, make them feel like, even though they already get home and feel settled to a certain degree, but I mean, make them feel settled deep in the roots of their being. In Jesus' name, that settling, that rooting, feeling like, you know, they got a daddy or whatever. So, you know, Chris has been, you know, that to them for a long time, but it's like there's something about this sealing, this deal, that makes the beauty of what God has made to come to blossom. And the blossoming of ESW auto sales, and for Chris, 15, we're going to kind of bind, put this all together, I think. Enrique, 15, and then 10, God is faithful. We will work less and earn a whole lot more and more. Yeah, so there's something about this whole thing that bringing blessing, a higher level of blessing, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for opening up their hearts, God, and watering them now at a deeper level. I see God watering you and fertilizing you at a deeper level of your roots. Like, your roots are going from being, you know, at a certain level to deep roots. Like, your roots are going deep. Like, something's drawing your root system deep with God. Like, you know, Torrey, Tyreek, ESW Auto Sales, Chris and Enrique, all your roots. I just see, like, it's almost, what I keep thinking and what I keep seeing is, like, a tree, you know, or something where they pull it by the roots and they shake it off and clean it up a little bit and replant it. You know, it's like it plant it deeper. The roots all of a sudden come alive. Maybe they were kind of went to sleep. Now they come alive. They're alive. And now they start looking, oh, man, we're going to find some deep water down here. The roots start going deeper. Thank you, Jesus, for that, for opening that depth, the depth of the sowing of the seeds and going into the ground that's been toiled, it's been turned over deep in Jesus' name. And the roots going deeper, Father, I just speak forth the root system of their whole family, God, as a family, as one going deep in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Deep into the fountains of the deep in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, the hidden secret realm, which is beneath the dirt, that's the part we can't see. We can see the tree, we can see the bark, and some of the roots, sometimes, but we can't see in a way how far the roots go down. Hallelujah. Open that up, Jesus. Bless that in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay. Congratulations, you guys. I'm so happy. Man, I don't know why exactly. It's just a beautiful thing. I've sent your pictures out to the Barca family, and I'll send them to you later, but people have responded like, that is beautiful. Very beautiful. Very beautiful. And I feel the same way, Andrika. Like, it's very beautiful. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done. All right, y'all, I guess that's it for tonight, as far as I can tell. I'm going to call it a night, maybe. See what's up here. Hallelujah. Thank you, everybody, for giving, sharing, your love. Wow. Really, really, really awesome. Amen. Especially when we get the website, I'm actually getting stuff done, and a lot done, a whole lot done. As some of you know, I'm sending some of the stuff out to you because I need your pictures. I've got pictures, getting some pictures. I've got most pictures now. I'm building part of the website now for our host, so everybody can meet our host and whatever. So, awesome. It's just a lot of fun. All right, y'all. I think that's it for me. That's been great. Really, really awesome. All right. So let's do this thing. Let's see. Anybody asking for prayer before I go? Rip our drawers tonight? What do you mean by that? Awesome, y'all. I'm going to call it a night tonight. All right, we're getting things done. Thank you, Jesus. I love the word of the Lord, man. Amazing. Can you explain the TGIGB you said about God giving a taste or feeling? Yeah. You know, it's like, I had people that I looked up to, you know, like one time I had a crush on Debbie Boone, you know, Pat Boone's daughter, if you know who she is. She's saying, "You light up my life. You give me hope." You may not know who Debbie Boone is, but anyway, when I first saw her, she was saved. Her voice was amazing, and I just fell in love with Debbie Boone. I did. Fell in love with Debbie Boone. And I knew I wasn't going to marry her. She was, like, already had a boyfriend and that kind of thing, but something about her, I just tasted her, man. I said, my God, she's a worshiper, you know. And so, anyway, long story short, it gave me a taste for what I wanted, you know. And although it was completely different in some ways, I don't know how to explain that. It gives me a, opens up my taste buds for something. So I've talked about this a few times before, but people think that's not prophetic because, you know, you just tell them that it could be like them. Because prophetic is not just saying, oh, their name is this, and they have an address over here. The prophetic is a lot of different things. People just are goofy on the prophetic. They don't have a clue what the prophetic is. Speak to you where you're at sometimes. And where you're at sometimes may not be all that great with some people. But they speak to you right where you're at and whatever that needs to be. Some people are, you know, further along, you know, just depending on where somebody's at. But, so it gives you a taste. You see people, you know, like some people, I've had people tell me, they say, oh, women have told me, oh, you remind me of my grandfather, and I love my grandfather. So they taste of the grandfather. They see me, and you talk and act just like my grandfather. And I love my grandfather. I love my grandfather. You just like him. Okay, thank you. Awesome. But, you know, they got a taste for what they wanted through somebody in their life. Okay? Hopefully that makes sense. I'd be glad to answer any questions. I love it. All right. I'm going to call it a night tonight, y'all. Thank you so much. God bless. Talk to you later. Thank you. We love you. Bye-bye.